I was going to ask, like I said it weeks ago, I still think Jacksonville would be the scariest of the options for the Patriots. Like, with the way the Steelers' defense looked, especially since Shazier went out, and just, again, in general, like, you're fighting fire with fire against Tom Brady. That's just not going to work.
No.
So the Jaguars are fighting with Blake Bortles, who is apparently stronger than fire?
Well, the one thing, and I said this for the Steelers, that the one thing that beats Tom Brady, everyone loves to act like a fucking genius and be like, oh, if you sack Tom Brady, that's the only way you can win. It's like, well, first of all, if you sack any quarterback a shit ton of times, like, you're probably going to win that game. That's true.
True.
But the only way to beat them is to keep your offense on the field and don't let them, like, when they get the ball, just force three and outs, which obviously much harder said than done, but that's how the Steelers beat us, and that's kind of how Jacksonville just won. Granted, like, Ben Roethlisberger had, like, a monster stat line, but he didn't play well. Like, anyone who left that game being like, oh, he should keep playing football is an idiot.
Too late for MVP votes for Big Ben?
But the thing that scares me, like, Fournette fucked up his ankle, but then he played in the second half and scored again. So I don't know if that – I don't know if he actually feels pain. He might be like Westbrook, like, he gets hurt, and then he's immediately fine.
Leonard Davis. Ankle falls off his foot, 65-yard run next play.
So, like, if they can just run the ball and then on third downs, like, Bortles was spinning that thing. He was, like, he wasn't trying to make these incredible – like, he threw downfield, I think, three times, two of them incredibly problematic. One of them worked, which is, I mean, none of them have resulted in interceptions, so why not?
That sounds like three for three, yeah.
And then – he's been, like, both games. Like, he didn't play well against Buffalo, but he did just keep picking up first downs with his legs. And that's something that
killing clock.
Yeah.
I was saying, and killing clock.
Right. That could kill us.
Are you worried at all?
Worry probably doesn't feel like the right word as much as I think
one
most.
1 to 10.
Huh?
1 to 10 scale of worry. 10 being you see Eli Manning and Justin Tuck walking back on that field.
See,
zero being Curtin Peyton Manning walking back on that field.
See, I'd put the worry at a 1, but I'd put the respect at like a 9.9.
Hmm. Fair.
Because, like, I think they're I'm sure someone's going to pull up some tweet, but I don't think I've ever outright, like, hated Blake Bortles. Like, I don't think he's good, but I think he's like he's Eli Manning, like, pretty much the exact same quarterback.
Sure. Coughlin, running that system, I don't know, man. I might be at least a 3 on the worry scale.
Yeah, but I mean, this is going to be like the dickheadish, most dickheadish thing I've ever said. I don't know if I, like, would be upset if we lost because of how painful that last Super Bowl was to go through. Like, I don't think I can handle that again.
Yeah, as I say, it keeps, like, jumping up. I was like, man, how are they ever going to top that? Marshawn didn't get the ball in 28-3. Now it's going to be the Patriots are up 35-4 somehow. And Bortles just come storming back, 41-35.
Well, it's like even if we beat them, like, then we play the Vikings, and the Vikings have a home game?
Or the Nick Foles-led Eagles.
Man, that. You want to talk respect, I'd have 0 going into that game.
Oh, yeah. That, like, if we don't lose by 40, they should get the trophy. Like, fair is fair.
Right. I feel bad for Damashek. I was going to text him before the game or tweet him, be like, as long as you guys don't be cowards and not show up, come on next week. And now I can only imagine the pit of despair he's in.
You sitting there now. Wait a minute. You have been blocked by this at this user's request.
It was tough. Look, man, the Steelers, we got plenty to laugh about football-wise, but the Steelers, it's like, I was talking to one of my Steelers friends. Shazier could be healthy. They could get, like, prime Polamalu back there. They could get all of these pieces, and it just wouldn't matter. They would never beat the Patriots in the playoffs. There's nothing they can do.
Yeah, I don't – again, that's exactly why I'd be afraid of the Jack, because it's like, why the fuck not? The Jacksonville Jaguars are in the conference championship.
And they got house money.
I think I saw – I can't remember if I read it or heard it on a podcast. Like, the Jags literally have the most expensive defensive line ever. Like, ever. like 50%, I think, of their entire cap just on defensive line. And again, you talk about how to beat Tom Brady. Sack him a lot with that defensive line. If Bortles can make some plays, Fournette can make some plays. Again, it's like, man, they had a 9-play, 74-yard drive. Only got 3 minutes, but it burned 9 minutes off the clock. Like, right. That would kill him.
Yeah, no, you keep Tom on the bench, and they just cut to him in that preposterously oversized jacket.
No one in sight. Not a single teammate close to him.
And people keep talking about, at least in Patriot world, people keep talking about the Edelman injury. Like, that's been figured out. Like, I think we're okay on that side of the ball.
Yeah, it's been, 4 months? I think they're all right.
The one that still does not sit well with me, especially against a running team like this, is Hightower.
Yeah. The thing I hate, it's going to, like, Fournette, like, was great in college, great prospect, all that. Now it's going to be like, yeah, this is exactly why you have to take a running back top three.
See,
and the Browns are going to take Barkley, like, number one. It's going to be a bad idea.
Well, what if they took him four after that? Because I have 1 and 4.
One, if one is Josh Allen, then I don't care. It doesn't matter who you take it for. It's just not going to matter.
Very true. Very
for
true.
For this particular team, I don't – like, the only way I could see – like, the Cowboys were like, we're normally good. We were bad this year. I still would have 100% taken Jalen Ramsey and said it at the time. But I can still – I can see – be like, okay, like, we're not normally this bad. If you're annually in the top five, I don't think I'd take a running back that high.
My thing is – because I get it, especially a year. Like, the people keep bringing up Alvin Kamara. Like, oh, he went 67th or whatever fucking pick he was. It's like, yeah, he would, like, not be the same elsewhere. Like, he'd still be good. He's obviously very talented, obviously very good. But he clearly fits that scheme. He clearly fits, like, they know how to use him. Not every team. Like, if he were taking Fournette's carries in Jacksonville, would they be as good? I don't know if he would.
I agree with that. But, again, Kareem Hunt was what, third or fourth rounder, led the league in rushing. Like, it's about, like, it's not the talent. Like, again, like, Saquon Barkley is incredibly talented. It's about, like, the value. Can I get 60% of his value, like, four rounds later and just get two, I don't know, like, linemen, I don't know what the top of the draft. Maybe they just take two quarterbacks and just hope for the best.
I don't hate that strategy either, unless one of them's Josh Allen. Then it's a wasted
strategy. What if they're both Josh Allen?
It's the Browns. I won't rule that out.
Like, they just take him again. Like, we wanted to make sure.
My thing is, if you, like, Zeke was a lock. You know what I mean? Like, no one thought he was going to be bad. Fournette, for the whole time he was pretty much at LSU, up until the draft process when people started overthinking it, was a lock to be a great pro. So I have no problem. Like, my biggest thing, especially in the NFL with first-round picks, is just get a hit. Just fucking get a player you can use. So whether I get it, and my especially with running backs, like, you don't really want to give them that second contract. Look how hard it is for Le'Veon Bell to get a actual deal. Like, no one wants to pay him because they think he's going to run out of gas soon, which is probably will. So my thing is, like, all right, yeah, like, first-round contracts obviously more expensive than later rounds, but if I think I have a guy, I don't have to think about that position moving forward anymore, and I don't have to pay him his prime money. I can get him now when he's probably going to be at his best for this shorter money. I don't think it's the worst strategy.
The only thing I would say is, like, again, unless you – like, I believe the Browns spent, like, a lot of money in their offensive line, so they wouldn't be throwing him into Barkley into, like, absolutely nothing. But, like, if you do, I feel like
that's
his first couple years – yeah, your first couple years you're spinning your wheels, and by the time he is really good, like, okay, yeah, we might want to pay him, but we only got 2 years of production because we suck the first 3 years of his contract.
Right. Or you could be the Patriots, invent Deion Lewis in some sort of laboratory, and I think James White was the third round, maybe fourth round pick, and he just kind of won a Super Bowl by himself. So, yeah, you can definitely do it whatever way you want.
Yeah, I feel like you should only... You have to, like, either only draft first-round running backs, like, just draft one every 6 years, whatever, when their contract runs out, or just never. Like, we only take seventh-round picks and guys nobody else wanted. Those are our two strategies. We don't take one in the second round. We don't sign big-name free agents. Like, those are the only two ways we go.
The one thing that is being overlooked, I mean, it's Monday, so there's a whole week of people talking out every fucking exhausting every angle of this game. The one thing I haven't heard yet about how great the Jags defense is and they deserve to be respected, which they do. I've seen some people being like, oh, they just gave up 42 points. They were playing up 28-7 the entire fucking game. Like, yeah, they're going to give up points.
Right.
To not fear them or respect them as a defense at this point after you have an entire season's worth of sample, like, that's just foolish. And I've seen some people doing that. That's really blowing my mind. But, like, Deion Lewis is the best running back left for any team.
Who is it? Lewis, Fournette, Murray, and...
And Josh Ajayi.
Garrett Blunt?
Ajayi. I don't know how to say his fucking name.
Yeah.
Ajayi, yeah.
Yeah. If Deion Lewis ever gets 300 touches, he's going to get 5,000 yards. That's just how it's going to go. He never will, but...
No.
Should he ever?
Well, I mean... The last play of regulation in the Super Bowl, I thought his, like, leg fell off.
Probably did.
Do you remember the fumble Ruski we ran out of nowhere?
No, I'm drawing a blank. I'm missing it.
After we hit the two-point conversion to tie the game, we had to punt. We had to kick off to them. Falcons went immediately three and out, and they had to punt back to us. We were like, we might win regulation. Like, we only had time for one play.
Mm.
But we ran, like, the annexation of Puerto Rico, and... Lewis, like, Brady just rolled out to the right, like, half the team went with him, and then Lewis had a convoy. He probably picked up like 20 yards and then just like had one of those weird falls, like no one touched him, but he had one of his weird falls and immediately grabbed his right leg. I was like, oh great, he's never gonna walk again.
Yeah, for a worthless play, he just tore every ligament.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been an electric ending, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't. Sure.
Yeah, he just hobbles into the end zone on one leg and retires in the post-game presser.
There have also been, like, even Patriot fans being like, wow, how about this? What about this find? It's like, we saw this when he was on the team before. Like, he was just hurt.
Right.
Like, this isn't new.
It might just be Pittsburgh running. Like, I remember watching both of the, like, I watched Shady McCoy. I was like, this guy's really good.
Right.
At Deion Lewis after, I was like, this guy's really good. He's tiny, but he's really good.
James Conner.
Yeah. Like, they're just good. And I think... with Lewis, maybe all of them, they just get hurt and it's like, well, they'll never recover for that with this 2000, this modern technology. Twisted knee, he'll never walk again.
Like, when we first came on the scene with the Patriots, it was like 7-8 games maybe before he got hurt, and we gave him a contract before he got hurt because we were like, oh yeah, we need this guy locked up. That's why he's still here.
Yeah, 10 yards a touch. Decent.
I don't get it. I don't know. I'm glad James White, like, had a real quiet regular season, and I think he was hurt towards the end of the year. And first playoff game, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go back. We have these two running backs. We're going to use them a lot. And what do you know? It worked tremendously.
He's going to bring back Stephen Ridley. Stephen Ridley's going to have, like, 200 yards in the conference championship out of nowhere.
He had Brandon Bolden score. Like, it was...
Cyrus Gray is going to come back and have, like, 150.
So, yeah, the Titans game was fun, but... even more fun, the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, boy.
Marched on up to Philadelphia. A game I think everyone in the world picked them to win.
They're back, man. They had Super Bowl mojo. It's no more. Forget how they struggled for, 15 of the 17 weeks? Like, they're back. They're clicking.
And Nick Foles just kept the chains moving. Just...
typical Foles.
Yeah, that's. I mean, anytime you got Nick Foles under center, you got yourself a chance to win. Everyone knows that. But the Falcons did get the ball back. And what was it? What was the final score? 15-10? It was a really fucking weird game.
15-10.
Yeah.
Philly's brave.
The reigning MVP. Still technically the MVP.
Correct.
Putting 10 points. He scored two once, right?
Oh, yes. At home, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it or was it in? Oh, yeah, it had to have been. Or was it in New York?
I'll say, yeah. Now, as I think of that, I was thinking of the, excuse me, when you said two, I was thinking of the game losing 2-point conversion. Matt Ryan has so many laughable moments. It's hard to keep them straight.
Apology accepted.
That hand up. That one's on me. Let's see. Yes, it was at New York.
Okay.
They lost 24-2.
Two.
Yankees ran up the score, man. No mercy on the Braves. Maddox couldn't buy a hit.
Matt Ryan's walking them down the field. They obviously need six. three simply would not cut it, given the score. And the play calling was so weird. Like, a lot of it was Matt Ryan's fault, but it clearly does not matter. It's kind of like Steelers Patriots. It does not matter who's calling the plays for Atlanta, whether it's Buddy out in San Francisco right now, Shanahan, or inebriated Sarkisian. They're just going to call the wrong plays.
Simmer down. We don't do alcohol jokes here. That guy was completely sober, and he still fucking sucks at his job. Call it like it did.
Listen, maybe.
Touche. I'll have to leave at halftime.
Yeah, did you see the plays? It could have gone either way.
You've got a good point.
But this dude, Julio, like, we both agree, Julio Jones, actually, like, a specimen of an athlete.
It's true.
A tremendous talent.
Correct.
Completely allergic to the end zone.
I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Like, that, from my mentions, that game couldn't have ended any better. Any better. It just.
Here's how it could have ended better: if Nathan Peterman threw the pass.
Ooh, no. It goes through Julio's hands. Peterman catches it, runs it back. Bills win somehow.
When the play happened live, it looked higher than the replays. Like, they might have went back and, like, when the Asante Samuel dropped interception happened, I was like, oh, it was too high. And now every time I see the replay, the ball somehow gets lower. Like, he didn't even have to jump. It was just hit him in the numbers.
Hit him in the dick. Yeah. Like, 2 years of it. Bounced off his ankle.
That one, every replay I saw, I was like, oh, that was a can of corn. Like, that should have been caught.
Right through his hands. Right through his hands. Like, in all year, people are like, well, you don't watch the games. They don't go to them in the red zone. And then somebody posted the stat. I was like, actually, they went to them 8 times in the red zone last year, 18 times this year, 1 conversion. So I was like, well, maybe you don't watch the games. Also, and I checked to make sure that this is true, because I didn't want to just, you know, tell tales out of school.
Never.
You can score touchdowns from outside the red zone. It's allowed. You can score at the 30, or the 40. Hell, you can even score at the 50.
Are you, like, sure? You sure you checked that?
Yeah, I texted Mike Pereira. He just hit me back. I'll make sure.
All right.
So, yes, 1 of 18. And they were talking about the corner, Jalen Mills. Like, if you've got one-on-one with, who people are saying, the best receiver, I've heard him called the most physically gifted receiver ever, which is also not true because Calvin Johnson existed.
Correct.
This guy was a 7th-round pick last year. They said he was the 67th-ranked Pro Football Focus cornerback, and the Giants picked on him 21 times earlier in a game. And you've got him one-on-one against Julio Jones? Pushed him to the ground twice. Like, what? Then the ball went right through his hands. But, no, by all means, he's better than, like, the three guys I have over, the four guys I have over him. And I hate him, and he's... And this is true. He is going to whoop my ass at Onyx, or, you know, Tin Lizzy's, Mary Mac, wherever he sees me. Julio Jones is going to whoop my ass. I've come to accept it. It's fine.
Again?
Yeah. I felt like it was a draw the last time, but I can see how the judges felt otherwise.
Your shirt was bloodier. There's still up to debate whose blood it was, but it's just a bad visual.
I was going to say, if you watch the tape, I got a couple good licks in. That's all that counts.
So your list, Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Nuke.
I got Beckham, too.
Well, I was just listing four, but yeah, Beckham and A.J. Green.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it's a stretch to say all four of those guys make that catch.
Listen, Julio Jones, I don't want to keep talking about the Patriots. Well, I do, but we're not the point of this. But we go back to last Super Bowl. The catch he made on the sidelines was one of the more outrageous catches I've ever seen. Way more difficult than the one he just dropped.
The one he took from Malcolm Butler this season was more difficult than that.
Correct. I forgot about that.
Malcolm Butler literally had that. He was like putting the ball in his pocket. And Julio was like, no, I'll have that. Thank you.
Meanwhile, I know you didn't see it, but Antonio Brown, playing on like one leg, was making these one-handed touchdown receptions with AJ Bouye like wearing him like back like on his back like a backpack.
It's Sark though, man. It's the play calling. That's what you understand. They don't go to him. Oh, they do. Well, it doesn't work when they do. Oh, well, He's still better because he's tall.
Beckham for sure is better. I understand he was hurt this year and people are going to slide him down their list. Don't do that. He's much better.
Yeah, no. He again, the start, like they post the, you know, most catches through whatever 50, 75, however many games Julio's played. Wait till Beckham gets there. He's going to blow everybody's numbers out of the water.
Right.
Like, I feel like even with the injury, that's how far ahead he was. Like, he missed most of this year. And it's like, nah, I'm just coming back to the pack now. I'll still be comfortably number one in all these stats.
Now, if you could start a season, like your goal is to win a Super Bowl, you start a season, they say you can either, then injuries exist, like injuries are turned on.
Mm-hmm.
You can either have Julio or you can have Gronk. You can only have one. Which one are you taking?
I think I'll take Gronk.
Yeah. I mean, well, why wouldn't you?
Because, again, like for those, like I'm trying to think, if he's playing, what's Super Bowl, 19 games, if I can get him for 12, I'm good.
Right.
Yeah, I'm good. And again, Julio's not exactly Mr. Durable. So I feel like he's gotten better at it. Like but I remember early on, he missed quite a few games. So, yeah, I'd go Gronk comfortably.
Yeah, him and Brady just tied, I'm pretty sure, Montana and Rice for most postseason touchdown, like, duo. Gronk plays, like, once every 3 years in the playoffs.
He turns, like, 28 next week, and Rice played dude's 56. Get him out of here. Tweeting his own stat. That's y'all's receiver?
And by the way, people like to say the Julio most physically gifted. And I get we do it as we continue to evolve as a species, but I don't feel comfortable even like you immediately just went to Calvin Johnson. Like, I don't disagree with Calvin. I don't think Randy Moss, like, I don't think enough time's passed for him to not be in that conversation.
Oh, yeah, I put Moss probably right above him. But again, Calvin was, like, had it all and was also, like, 240.
No doubt. There's no doubt. But, like, if Moss can just be as effective and doesn't need to go across the middle, does it matter at that point?
I would say the same about, like, Beckham or Brown. Like, right. I don't think – would Beckham run, like, a 4-5? Like, Beckham's not, you know, breakneck fast, but the guy gets open.
Yeah, he's got, like – he's kind of just like Ocho. Like, his feet are just quick as fuck.
Yeah, he's more quick than fast, and, like, if it's a slant, that's a wrap. Just, again, go ahead and kick the extra point.
Where does Josh Gordon fall on this list?
And like physical?
No. Like, just like we have AJ Green, or at least you have AJ Green above Julio. I'd have to like really think about it. I think it's very close. Because I'm just thinking, if you remove quarterbacks, just the actual talent, I think they're almost a coin flip. But
I feel like the fact that one has had Dalton, one had the MVP, and you still have to think about it, that would answer my question.
I don't disagree, but I don't know, like. I'm sure he'd have more touchdowns, but the yardage would probably be similar. And I get touchdowns are why they play the game. Like, I get that, but
it's true.
I do just think just in a vacuum. Like, when they were both coming out, I think I would have taken them both top five. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. And, like, again, I still think it's close, but, like, coming out of high school, coming out of college, even now, I still just think A.J. Green's better.
I think there's a case to be made, and I think a lot of people think that's ridiculous, and I mean, A.J. Green's fucking ridiculous. He just plays in Cincinnati.
Yeah, people will watch, anytime the Bengals are on primetime, people watch it and say how much Andy Dalton fucking sucks, which he does. It's true. And then the next week, Julio will make like a great catch for sure, thrown from the MVP, and they're like, man, that guy's clearly the best. There's no doubt about it.
But same thing with, like, Gronk. If you could have Josh Gordon... Let's just say, for the sake of this argument, both guys are going to play all 16 games.
Josh Gordon or Gronk?
No, Josh Gordon or Julio.
Oof. I might have to take Gordon, man, because you talk about bad quarterbacks. That guy was cooking with bad quarterbacks. Like, guys that I don't even think, like, are in the league as backups anymore.
No, Jason, like, Campbell was the last guy he was, like, actually, like, playing with.
Yeah, Campbell, Whedon, and... I feel like there's one more.
Like Kelly Holcomb or something.
Yeah, sounds about right. Tommy Maddox. Somebody, and yeah, like 1,600 yards. So if you give me like all things equal and I'm getting 16 games, I think I'd go Gordon over. Who's your number one? Like Brown, Beck, like who do you have number one?
Brown. I was saying Beckham coming into the year, just because I thought he was going to take like another step, got hurt. But Antonio Brown, I mean, this guy, I think he thrives off people putting him like number two. Like he puts that, like he just, he's like, oh, another chip on the shoulder. Like, all right. Yeah. Like he's, I don't know what it is. Like I saw people putting him number two wide receiver all time yesterday. And I don't know if that's that ridiculous.
Like, I don't. Like, again, I well, said it before.
Well, they were putting him behind Rice. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah, that's absurd. He's clearly better than Jerry Rice.
Clearly. People are going to get mad at that. Those people, their eyes don't work right.
Yeah, shame on them. If you were getting 16, would you take Gordon or Brown? I think I'd take Brown just because, like, he's did it, continues to do it. But I'd have to think about it. Like that's how talented Gordon is.
Right. I think that speaks more of what – like, that's just that's the you can have a boat or the mystery box argument,
right?
Like it could be a also, boat.
We talk about like most physically talented. I feel like Josh Gordon's got to be in that mix, right? Like
absolutely.
I feel like he's as big as like I think he's like 6'3" to Julio's 6'4". I feel like Josh Gordon's like 260. Like that man's enormous. Like they see him standing like he's standing next to linebackers and he's just like eye to eye, and he's still getting past everybody in coverage. So right. You talk about like most physically gifted. I feel like he's got to be in that mix.
Again, every time we talk about it, he caught like a 5-yard slant with Aqib Talib near him and then just like finished with like 20 yards of distance between him and I think McCourty was the closest Patriot. Like that was obscene.
Yeah. He's. I'll say it. I didn't want to tell tales out of school, but you forced my hand. A lot of good receivers in the
National
Football.
Jesus Christ. My influence on you is it hurts to see.
Andrew, cut that from the tape. I don't want that.
You don't want that out there.
Leaking. Yeah, I don't want that leaking.
I'm trying to think because it is kind of like the golden age. People like throwing that around a lot, the golden age of television, golden age of point guards. It kind of is the golden age of wide receivers right now, though, the fact that we're having this conversation and you could bring 10 different people in this room, they'd have a different top five.
Yeah, I agree. The thing that I hate is, like, when it's time for all these guys to get in the Hall of Fame, like, 10, 15 years, it's going to be like, well, we can't put Antonio Brown and A.J. Green and Julio Jones in the Hall of Fame at the same time. Sure you can. They're all great. Like, what do you mean you can't?
Yeah, that's going to be super fucking annoying. And, like, what's going to be worse is, like, T.O. still won't be in, so, like, they're going to have to get him in first.
The T.O.'s, like, on his 17th ballot, and they're like, I don't know, man. Even in the year 2036, he's still fourth all time in catches. But I don't know, man. Wait, talk to the media.
I don't get that either. Like, yeah, he talked to the media in that way. It also made it much easier to get stories in the middle of the season. Like,
I've always like I feel like that. Like, you'd rather that, or would you rather? I don't know, Jerry Rice just give you know, some vanilla quote. Yeah, both teams played hard. You want T.O. to say, go fuck yourself. That's a story. I'm clicking on that.
Easily. Speaking of Jerry Rice, someone, I don't know, maybe.
It was me. I'll get that in the bag.
I was going to say, someone slid him an advanced copy of this. some hatter out there at some airport in, like, Sheboygan. Came across Jerry Rice and was like, hey, man, you weren't as good as fucking Randy Moss. Or I don't know what was said to him, but he... Like,
big fan, Jerry. Loved your career. Man, I have 1,527 career catches, dickhead. Him saying the exact number also killed me. I was like, I know he knows that off the top of his head.
Oh, of course he does.
If you ask Randy Moss how many career catches he had, do you think he'd know?
He might have some preposterous guess like 106.
I think it'd be like either like really high or really like Rain Man. Like, how much is a gallon of milk? $100? How many career catches do you have, Randy? 14?
Yeah.
I don't know. 14, Randy? Okay, 15,000.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to talk to me like that? All right, fine. All of 100,000 catches.
Like, am I too high, too low, cold, warm?
Yeah, just let me know. Am I close to pinning the tail on this donkey or what?
Is it a ballpark?
Yeah, Jerry Rice, I think that's how he, like, knows whether or not he has CTE. Like, every morning he's like, it's not like who's the president right now. He's like, I have this many catches, this many yards, this many touchdowns. All right, still know it. Great. Next day. Does right, it just every morning.
What was your yard per catch? 13.4. All right, he's good.
Thanks, man. He's outrageously, like, I at some point I kind of respect it, but at another point, like, I just disagree with him. So it's tough. It's a tough place to be.
He cheated to get those numbers, so I've got no respect for it.
People forget that people don't like to talk about that.
I do. I love to talk about it. Imagine you put Antonio Brown in that system and let him cheat. He'd catch 250 passes every single year.
Like 20 a game, probably.
At least.
It would have been like a super effective Jarvis Landry.
250 catches, 117 yards. One touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, Rice. Look, neither of us think Jerry Rice was bad.
Correct. He was very good. He was comfortably a top 10 wide receiver of all time. I've got no issue saying that. It's a hot take. It's fine.
Think of how many people play wide receiver in the NFL, like, right now. Like, 300? I don't fucking know. A lot.
I'm saying, yeah, again, like, your base offense now, you're putting at least three out there. Like, sometimes four. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? So if you've got that for 30 teams, yeah. And I still say he's a top 25 wide receiver of all time. I've got no issue saying it. There's no question about it. He was better than Jericho Cotchery. It's a question I've been asked 100 times, and I'll put it to bed here.
Finally, Devlin, make sure you clip that. We'll get that one out on social. People can finally rest easy. They can put away their pitchforks.
Yeah, it's clipped.
They can put away their pitchforks and torches.
100,000 retweets.
Yeah. it's the Slimmy tweet. Barack Obama walks up to the podium, holds a picture of Young Thug. Everybody cries.
Everybody cries. The impressions, man. Think of the impressions. I have no problem saying that Jerry Rice is better than Kelvin Benjamin. I have no issue saying that.
Well, I mean, they were both, according to, like, body mass index, BMI.
Yeah, there it is.
They're both obese, according to that. So they're close.
Correct.
I don't know what it is. Like, I grew up thinking Jerry Rice was, like, cool. The thing that gets me are the people who are like, oh, he's the greatest football player of all time. Like, that's just incorrect.
No. He's not better than Aaron Donald.
No.
Simple and plain.
Like, if you could have prime LaDainian Tomlinson or prime Jerry Rice, which offense do you think would be easier to be built around?
Tomlinson.
Right. Like, I don't understand why that was ever a thing. Like, what? I grew up assuming everyone just thought Walter Payton was the greatest football player of all time. I still think that might be true. It's only like the past like 5 years people have been throwing Rice out there.
Now, I've been hearing that forever.
Have you?
I've been hearing that for the longest time. And for the longest time, like, people say, I've said this like for take, like, this is not a take. You can ask people that know me in real life, both of the people that know me in real life.
So I'm me and someone else.
Yeah. You and my mother will both attest that I've long thought one, Moss is better than Rice, and two, like, I'm trying to think of just, like, random – like, you're telling me, like, whoever, like, the best left tackle of all time is he's not better than Rice?
Right.
Like, we just said, it's a golden age of receivers. If you plug any number – put Mike Evans, you know, in those old 49ers, he'd kill, and that's fine. But to say he's the best football player of all time, no. He's not better than Watt, and I don't even like Watt.
That's probably true because I don't like him either, and he's definitely not. I just don't – I don't get what – like, I guess because he's, like, the least offensive player ever, like, until he started with, like, all this MAGAs shit. But even then, that probably – the people who think this already like that even more.
But the thing is, like, T.O. has said it many times. Like, T.O. learned in San Francisco that's the way you're going to get people talking about you. Like, Jerry Rice would leave with, like, the license plate with his number on it and shit and talk crazy to the media. And that's where T.O. learned it from. But it's like, yeah, Rice was just a nice guy.
I think Roan's about to bust through the door like the Kool-Aid man. Yep, there he is.
Here's some Rice slander.
Yeah, no, he's standing up. He's Kobe, the number one Kobe and Jerry Rice fan, and Adam Ferrone. How's it going, pal?
Rice is 42 years old. Why is he like these old timers?
Bro, I can't allow this. What is your program that Jerry Rice and Kobe suck? How is this? I like
Kyler just called him top 25 all time.
You just said Mike Evans is better than Jerry Rice.
That was not what was said. That's not what was said. We said you could plug him in.
Exactly.
Yo, this is not
Mike Evans doesn't have the numbers yet. Soon, sure, but he doesn't have the numbers yet for that argument.
Why is Jerry Rice bad?
I have him top five.
Is he your best receiver of all time, Ron?
Randy Moss is taller and faster than Jerry Rice.
And also better.
But, yo, Jerry Rice could do things that Randy Moss couldn't do.
Like score less, yeah.
And catch more.
Well, what's the fucking point?
To put your team in position to score.
So Jarvis Landry is better than everyone else in the league.
But, I mean, a bubble screen is different than a contested screen or a contested like crossing route against the Dallas Cowboys mid-90s defensive backs.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to catch when you have someone draped on your arms when you have fly traps on your hands.
Yo, this – so fucking,
you know,
Jerry Rice sucks.
It's slow.
He is also slow.
5'2", everything is contested.
Yeah, you better be able to have some strong hands.
I just cannot. I simply cannot allow you guys.
You don't like the slander against the second best 49ers receiver of all time?
Who's your boy? Dwight Clark?
Terrell Owens.
J.J. Stokes?
Terrell Owens. Are you going to slander? Is the Eagles fan going to slander Terrell Owens?
No love for Torrey Smith, guys? Damn.
You already came in here and bashed Allen Iverson. You're going to bash Terrell Owens, too?
Jerry Rice is better than T.O.
Oh, man. This is a
it
cut.
What? I'm listening.
Cut it, Devlin. That's going out there. You're just going to be banned from Philly. Every time you come in here, you make your situation in Philadelphia worse and worse. Let's talk about Fultz.
Oh, man. I'll
tell you another thing about Mike Schmidt. He's so stuck.
Always sunny, overrated program.
Shitty program. Shyamalan, that guy can't make a twist for shit.
Cheese steaks, I hate them.
They're not good. I don't feel the same way as you fellas, and it boiled my blood.
About anything, apparently.
It boiled my blood when I heard it, but...
He texted me in all caps, "Stop it, did you just say Mike Evans over Rice?" And I said, "Get in here, Buster."
It's frankly just not true, and I don't know what... I guess Jerry Rice is a dislikable human being, or unlikable. I understand that you guys find him to be milk toast.
Well, he never pulled down his pants, so he's actually a good guy. Or faked pull down his pants, so he's actually a good guy.
I hated him before I knew he was a bad person. So, hipster withers, give me a little credit here.
He didn't go to Rand University, so that definitely hurts him. He probably didn't play basketball with Jason Williams growing up, so how good of an athlete
can
he be?
Yeah, I think we can rule that one out.
There's a lot of Jason Williams out there, though, so you never really know.
That's fair.
You never really know at the end of the day. But Jerry Rice won Super Bowls as a wide receiver. Multiple Super Bowls, being the best player on his team. 3 Super Bowls, in fact. That's a lot of Super Bowls for a fella to win, being the best player as a wide receiver. Has any
He's
other...
better than Montana, the guy that people agreed was like the best quarterback of all time before Brady won 5. And some people would still say that Montana's better.
Yeah, I mean, he never lost a Super Bowl.
Candy arm Joe Montana? The same guy? I'd rather make the argument that Joe Montana stinks than Jerry Rice stinks.
Let's get it.
With that soft-ass baby arm that he had, that little wet noodle. He's
well,
lucky
he didn't
that...
have to throw strong. Rice was running these 5-yard outs.
He was running 5 yards because that was the extent of where the ball would go to.
Joe Pennington?
Joe Montana said, go deep. And... Jerry Rice cut it off after 5 yards and went in because that's as far as that rock was about to go. Steve Young won a championship with Jerry Rice, and his name isn't Joe Montana.
That's true.
He won an MVP, too, so he's just really be a real shame if Rice kept playing with MVP quarterbacks.
Yo, maybe Rice is the MVP maker. Maybe this guy creates an MVP. I don't know if we said all that, but Jerry Rice is making an offense pop with Garrison Hurst as his running back.
We're not here to slander Garrison Hurst. That's what we're not.
I surely am, my friends. Garrison Hurst is mediocre. He is the middle Bears porridge. He is fucking not hot nor cold. He is very
Garrison Hurst was an all-pro running back. This simply isn't true.
It's because Jerry Rice had to put 11 people on Jerry Rice.
Garrison Hurst was fire in NFL Street.
He's Georgia's finest. I can't stand for this. An all-pro running back.
All right, so I have a little chart here. I know how much you like charts. The most reception touchdowns at a certain age. You ready? So at age 21, who has the most touchdowns in NFL history?
Damn, Randy Moss?
Randy Moss scored 17 by age 21.
That's crazy.
Age 22, who has the most touchdowns?
Is it your boy Randy Moss?
It's Randy Moss up until age 33. Age 34, who is it?
Jerry Rice?
It's Jerry Rice.
Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
At age 35, who is it?
Is it Randy Moss
again. And then ages 36 through 42 plus, it says plus, it's Jerry Rice. So, if Randy Moss cared about things like eating well and running slow, yeah, I'm sure he could be on this list all the way up until 50.
And
but he
cheating.
Didn't.
If Randy Moss cared about Correct. Cheating, then imagine the numbers.
Jerry Rice, Jim Ross.
one of my favorites.
Yeah, we're not
Jerry
here to slander Gerald Ross.
Jerry Rice never got to play with Dante Culpepper in a wide open
right.
offense.
Yeah, that's
and
what
he
was.
Never got to play opposite Chris Carter. I'll tell you that those things. He never got to play with Robert Smith as his running back. No, he sure did not. And
he had all-pro Garrison Hurst. He had Ricky Waters. He had like
and he didn't have Tom Brady throwing rainbows to him. How many? I think
yeah, that was age 35. We got to that.
I'm quite confident that Randy Moss scored about 50 of his total touchdowns in that one season with Brady. About 50 of them.
21.
And if he didn't have that one season with Brady, things wouldn't have shaken out like that. Now,
I mean, listen, age 28, 29, that was definitely when he was in Oakland.
Jerry.
So you're saying playing with MVP quarterbacks is good? What if he got to play with two of them? Wow.
You know what? I think
he
we
did.
Already
Culpepper
established.
Won an MVP. That was a bad point by you.
Yeah, Culpepper won his MVP. Randall Cunningham should have won an MVP with whom he also played.
Nah, don't try to get Philly back now.
Philly's back. Cunningham, Vic, Kevin Cobb. No.
How do you think he would have done with Jeff Garcia?
Well, if it looks
Terrell
like
Owens
a rat,
did really well.
If it smells like a rat, then Jerry Ross would have caught 144 receptions. Didn't he catch 144 balls one year?
See, again, Jarvis Landry
that
was Herman time.
Moore.
Yeah. Herman Moore did have Art Monk did put up some fucking catch numbers.
You're boys. Not going to sit here and slander Andre Carter on my watch, but Andre Reed, shit.
Andre Rison.
Neither of the Andres.
Do you just have, like, all this admiration for people because, like, you hear other people have admiration for them?
Because so do you just dislike people because you see them at the top of some kind of list?
No, we think about these things critically, and we're like, oh, actually, no, Randy Moss was better than this guy. I don't know why anyone else disagrees with that.
Randy Moss.
Would you take Antonio Brown or Randy Moss? Or, I know the answer to that. Antonio Brown or Jerry Rice?
Jerry Rice.
Why?
Because he is a sure-handed threat. Because
he never did what Antonio Brown just did the past four or five years.
What, got booted from the playoffs multiple years in a row?
Well, yeah, he did that frequently because, as we already went over, they didn't make the Super Bowl all that often.
Who they won three Super Bowls.
Yeah, that was it.
That's a lot.
And they didn't make it the rest of the time.
That's
so what the fuck?
Randy Moss. That's more than Terrell Owens.
Okay.
Doesn't
we going team sport now?
Yeah.
Doesn't winning account for anything if you're
it
the
sure
best player
does.
On your team?
Well, we already established he wasn't, but okay.
But if you're one of the two best players on your team, then?
Yeah.
I think it's an important statistic.
So getting knocked out, this is the thing. Like, Peyton Manning, king of the one and dones, like, people would rather that for some reason than Brady losing two Super Bowls. I don't understand that.
It's the LeBron thing, too.
Right.
I agree that LeBron, his losses definitely hurt him. But Jerry Rice has no Super Bowl losses.
He couldn't get there.
He got there.
No, he
three
lost with
times.
The Raiders, didn't he? Lost with the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken, to those Bucks, right?
Did he make? Did he make that Raiders? He was a
was
Rich Gannon target.
Jerry Rice with the, yeah.
Him and MVP, Tim Brown.
He played with three MVPs. Rich Gannon.
Let's not forget Rich Gannon, who conveniently is from Philadelphia, by the way. Rich Gannon did go.
You're
to
not
San
getting
Jones
those people back.
Philadelphia. Come on back.
Banned from the city.
Come back to me, my sweets. All right. I think that Jerry Rice is good. I also think Kobe Bryant is good. And
we think those guys are good, too.
If that alienates me on your basketball program, then I guess we'll just have to do a quick Markelle Fultz.
That's the thing, though. We think those guys are good, too.
Apparently not.
That's not true.
All you do is you're going to throw dirt on their name until they are out of the discussion of the greatest of all time. You're trying to
then I'll
shove
throw more dirt on their name.
Yeah.
You're trying to bury them until they wind up being middling perennial all-stars or whatever you think of Jerry Rice, whatever you think of Kobe Bryant, because extraordinary top-of-the-line athletes actually were extraordinary top-of-the-line athletes.
Well, we already went over. Jerry Rice was technically obese per I can't say this, BMI. So, no, he wasn't a top-of-the-line athlete.
A little flab. A little flab, it helps you absorb a hit a little bit better.
It was the 90s. It was a different time. You're at the 25-yard line. You have to score a touchdown. It's fourth down, 1 second left for the season, for the Super Bowl.
You can't pick Stephon Diggs.
I can't pick Stephon Diggs.
You can either throw to Jerry Rice or Rob Gronkowski. Who are you throwing to?
So we're talking tight ends, too, now?
I mean, I'm talking people who catch passes.
Is it this year?
He's on the field, so he's healthy.
So they're in the prime of their careers.
Sure.
I mean, Jerry Rice never was the guy, like, he wasn't, like, the go-up-and-get-it guy.
He had to have been. He wasn't a burner.
but he was, like...
Go down and get it?
He was a go-down-and-get-it. He would crawl on the ground, roll over, and catch a football.
Listen, he's got 197 touchdowns. Gronk doesn't have that. He's got 69.
And he always will.
He's only going to catch him in the playoffs now. He's like, those don't affect my regular season numbers.
So why, if it doesn't, what do you think is good about Jerry Rice?
I think he moved the chains. I think he played for a long time.
He was Jason Avant, you think?
He was the
durability.
Yeah, like I said,
Witten.
Jarvis Landry of his day.
This is terrible.
All good players.
Yeah, what the? Jarvis Landry is
right. Jericho Cotri moved the chain. Yeah. Wayne Krabet moved the chain, so
there's no shame. He's the black Wes Welker.
Oh, no. I mean, Wes Welker did put up crazy reception numbers. Crazy reception
numbers.
So
Antonio
Brown. Jerry Houshmandzadeh, man. Again, I've got no slander for this man.
Do you enjoy watching the Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders one-on-one tapes when it's just like there's a bunch of them on YouTube? They ISO the two of them. Do you think that Deion Sanders is probably the best cornerback of all time?
No.
What?
No.
What? Tyler?
Nah.
I love Deion.
What?
He's got the exact same amount of receptions
as
Ty
Law. Lane?
He has the exact same amount of interceptions as Ty Law.
Receptions.
Dick LeBeau. I've got Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau would lock down Calvin Johnson. No questions about it.
Ty Law actually could tackle. Deion made it a point to be like, all right, that's not for me. I love Deion. I think he had it all figured out. You know what I mean? I still love Deion today.
Ty Law over Deion Sanders?
I've been saying this for a long time. I don't think Ty Law's number one overall all time either. But
why not Troy Brown then?
Only one of those two guys had the entire game of football be changed because of how dominant they were. And it wasn't Deion Sanders.
I think the game of football was changed because of how dominant Deion Sanders was.
Maybe the game of baseball, but not football.
No, because he played football and he played both,
it's true.
If you remember the commercial.
It's true.
People forget.
He's like a worse Bo Jackson.
I think I do believe that Deion Sanders is the best cornerback of our time. We'll see what happens with.
I don't think he's better than Revis.
With Jalen. No, look at Revis now.
Okay, sick, but we're not talking about that.
But Deion played till 37. Yeah, Deion as a Raven was.
Prime for prime.
Yeah, prime for prime. I put Revis with Sanders.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Deion was a different.
No, Revis was amazing now. Give him his credit.
They wouldn't even look toward it. Like the point you're making. They were throwing at.
Because it's Jerry Rice.
Okay.
Because it's Jerry Rice. You're going to try and get the ball to Jerry Rice because he's that good.
Okay.
And that is why you have a Deion Sanders on him. He's going against the best in the game. Randy Moss against Revis?
They wouldn't even.
And Rice couldn't beat him, so they were like, yo, bring Deion Sanders to San Francisco. I can't get past this guy.
Oh, you are the worst humans.
We've never
this.
Yeah, we haven't debated this either.
You are truly terrible individuals. But
was this therapy?
I did that already.
I love the program, though. God, do I love the program.
Listen, I don't even know who is the best corner of all time. I don't think it's Deion.
Seahorn.
I don't know.
It's Seahorn.
I'm easily Seahorn.
Fine with that. I'm fine with the Seaman getting his just due.
It's about time that Seahorn finally. And it's about time that we have another. I looked up a list of the top white cornerbacks in the game today.
No.
There was one
list.
He got it. It truly was. They were like, I'm not making this up. You guys can Google the list. By the fifth player, the fourth and fifth player are high schoolers. They're players who are not in the...
Like current high schoolers?
They're in high school right now. There are high schoolers on the list. Two playing college. One got cut from the Raiders in the preseason. It's not a good time to be a white and
Harrison,
play corner.
Harrison Smith might be like the best white DB of all time.
There are good white safeties, but Harrison Smith really is that boy for sure. He throws around. Sandejo, obviously...
He's not white.
Yeah, you can't be called Sandejo. But
correct.
The eye test.
Yeah, nah.
Who's the dude on the Ravens now? Played for not the Ravens. Maybe
Weddle.
Yeah, Eric Weddle.
Weddle throws it around.
He's up there too.
Archuleta threw it around a little bit, but he wasn't. He's not an all timer.
Lynch.
Lynch threw it around. but they better not let Lynch in before my man Brian Dawkins.
No, no, they better not.
Oh, no, no, I hear you pandering.
Yes, Philadelphia, come back, my sweets.
We got two more Philadelphia things, because we were about to talk about the Final Four before you burst into the room. Your team, still very much in there.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. Are you still all in on Foles?
Well, I was never all in on Foles.
You're the biggest Foles guy in the office.
I have approached every game with crippling anxiety and trepidation.
You watched this last weekend by your lonesome, correct?
I couldn't go out to the bar. All my friends were out at the bar, and I was like, yo, I'm too scared that it's not going to go well.
I understand.
Watching games in public, like, isn't like
it's not fun.
Everybody else's emotions are getting in the way of my emotions. Like, keep your fucking emotions to yourself. Like, just because you're giving up hope right now, I don't have to give up hope right now. Like, right. I will choose to believe. Like, and if I want to be pissed off, you better not be fucking happy in my face.
Everybody's also stupid in public. Like they'll say, like, that throw right there is why Foles will be starting over Wentz, and then you just want to fight.
Exactly. People will get fired up about something and just be completely wrong, overreact in the first quarter, like, even just reading other people's tweets. Even, like, Smitty was just like, I feel the darkness caving in. Like, no, Smitty, stop. Stop this.
Adam, please.
Lou was just, like, giving up. Like, I can't have other people's emotions getting all mixed up with mine. Mine are volatile enough.
Okay, so got the win because Julio Jones actually bad. We talked about that before you came in.
Yeah, you missed that.
I'm surprised you guys aren't trying to call Julio Jones the best receiver.
No. I mean, do you follow Tyler?
He's better
on
than Jerry Rice, but.
That's what I'm saying. He's better than Jerry Rice. Did we see what he did there? Tyler, are you? You're not a Falcons guy, unless they're winning.
Correct.
Yeah, that was a tough end. Steve Sarkisian just embarrassed himself with that play call at the end there. That was
the whole series was bad.
Yeah, that was
the whole season. The whole season was bad.
Yeah, he kept looking at Julio in the end zone. Not a good idea.
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. What did he drop 22 balls in the end zone or something like that? Some
Tyler said
number?
He went 1 for 18.
He was 1 for 18 in the red zone this year. Not great.
Yikes. But for the as far as going against the Vikings, like, I'm scared for sure. I wanted the worst team of the Vikings and Saints to win. And I guess that was by the end of the game, it kind of looked like the Vikings were worse than the Saints.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Saints were the better team. It just took them the whole first half to figure out how to play. And then once they did.
If I was the Eagles, I'd rather see the Vikings. Like the Saints, that offense, even though it didn't pick up till later, that offense would still scare me.
Right.
Yeah. And just having an experienced quarterback. Like you kind of, Frank the Tank even tweeted, like, is this the time when. The clock strikes midnight for Case Keenum and he becomes mortal. And you kind of have to hope that's the case. Like Drew Brees is not going to become mortal. Like there's,
that is the case.
That is the case. And I don't think that any of the other quarterbacks, like you hope that Case Keenum falls back down to earth and just sucks. And it's windy or some shit that they can't control.
Right. So were you more,
Roden, let me ask you this. Roden loves his old timers. Is Drew Brees better than Brett Favre?
One Super Bowl each, because winning means a lot to me.
It's like five MVPs to one, though.
But that yardage, but the game is also different. Are we talking a game on the line or a body of work type thing?
Either, whichever.
Game on the line. Game on the line. I go Favre. Body of work. I go Breeze.
I have both five.
Both Favre.
Yeah,
I think I take both Breeze. Honestly,
so, like. For me, it's so difficult to pick between. I get he had shitty defenses like the vast majority of his career. I very much get that. But it's so hard for me to compare any dome quarterback to any other quarterback. Like, it's just impossible. Right. I can't do. Like, up until 2 years ago, I was very much like, Kurt Warner is better than Drew Brees.
Here's the thing. I think that should be a nod in Brees' favor. Brees recognized where his bread was buttered. So I look like playing in Minnesota or New England.
I don't knock him. I definitely don't knock him. And I mean, living in New Orleans seems like a good time. He's like the mayor of New Orleans, pretty much. Like he,
correct.
So he gets to live there happy the rest of his days. But
especially compared to playing in Green Bay, like Green Bay is actually it's pretty shitty outside,
right?
If you recall, so I'm definitely nervous about this game. But Coley, you have to be even more nervous about this New England game.
I'm not.
What?
I'm not.
You're not worried about the Jaguars?
Tyler asked me earlier, he said, what's your worry at? I said, worry's not the right word. I put my worry at a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, but I put my respect at a 10. I think they're a very good opponent.
Jalen Ramsey is the fucking truth.
He is the truth. I'm a big Jalen Ramsey guy.
I've been trying to trumpet
better
this.
Than Jerry Rice.
He might be. I've been trying to trumpet this all over, and I've been getting shut down at the office left and right. But I think that Jalen Ramsey is the anti-Gronk. I think that he is the kind of guy
he's got to do it first. I don't think you can trumpet someone as that until they go out and do it. Because right now it's Earl Thomas, and that's just because he ran 40 yards directly through his chest and almost killed him.
It worked.
It did. Yeah, no, trust me, it worked. But unless Jalen Ramsey has that play in his playbook, I'm going to take Gronk.
Peppers.
I'm going to take Gronk over everyone until they actually stop him.
He has the profile though, like physicality, size.
Well, I think it's going to be Miles
speed.
Jack. From everything I've read, they're going to put Jack on him.
Really?
And Jack before the draft was like kind of like what Ramsey's been built up to be.
Yo, Jack, that UCLA linebacker core. Anthony Barr, who's killing it with the Vikings, and then Jack, who was also playing fucking... Was he playing running back at UCLA,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he was. He was the two-way player.
That's another guy. That's a scary guy if I'm the Patriots. I'm scared of Miles Jack. I'm worried about Calais Campbell. I'm worried about a lot of these guys that are populating the defense of the Jaguars.
Campbell's potentially the largest human being of all time, and no one ever talks about that. That,
right?
That makes me worried. And he's got, like, that giant voice, too. Like, he has the voice.
That's what it,
like the Xerxes?
Yeah. He's got the Xerxes.
They're like God. Like, that's how God sounds like Calais.
Like, if Morgan Freeman just smoked, like, his whole life, that's what Calais Campbell sounds like.
He's like an athletic Albert Haynesworth.
A super athletic Albert Haynesworth, yeah. But, and I was saying this to Tyler earlier, not enough people are giving, like, Deion Lewis is the best running back left in the playoffs, point blank, period.
Better than Ajayi?
Much better. His ligaments in his knees.
I think it
wasn't traded for like a fifth round pick this year.
I think that's
replaced by a better running back.
But no, Fournette's better than him.
I don't think he is.
Fournette is definitely better than him. He's better suited for what the Patriots do, and they probably tailored it to his talents. But Fournette's
very good.
Stud.
I like Fournette a lot. I don't think right now he's playing better football than Deion Lewis.
So Deion Lewis is hotter.
Sure. Yeah, he's playing the best football out of any of the running backs left.
But if it's like you want to build a franchise.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's older and he's been more injury prone than Fournette.
Fournette, but yeah, I'm a believer in Fournette. I'm a believer in the receiving core on the Jags.
Keelan Cole makes me nervous because all he needs is like two long bombs and he could have like 120 yards because he's better than Jerry Rice.
You think they're going to hang a lot of points on the Jags?
Yes.
So you think it's going to be another Steelers-type game or the Jags aren't going to be able to score?
No, they're going to score. It just really depends on, because like they got up 21-0 immediately, and it's really hard to blow that fucking lead. It might go back and forth, but I think we're going to win. I haven't figured out like a score yet, but
you got time.
Yeah, no, I do.
Tyler, you give my birds a shot in this game?
I do. I'm still not, like, I've watched a lot more Case Keenum than just this season. So like you said, I'm still kind of waiting for the Cinderella to expire, him to turn back into a pumpkin. And Eagles are the one seed, right? So it's in Philly, yes?
Yep.
So they're out of the dome.
Out of the dome, outside in the elements. I give y'all a decent shot.
Yeah, it's fucking tough, though. Having Nick Foles as the quarterback is just like, you wait for the other shoe to drop with him, too. It's like, when will he just be the guy who played against the Giants and the Raiders and just was not a good football player?
It's the Jeff Fisher Bowl.
Yo,
two former Jeff Fisher quarterbacks.
How about it?
He should get a ring. Whatever happens, he should get a ring.
Yo, he deserves that ring. Yo, Coley, what the fuck are you about to eat right now?
Acai bowl.
Oh, no, Coley.
I'm off meat.
What?
I'm off meat.
For real?
I haven't had it once this year.
Really?
Really.
Like, you fish, too?
I've never eaten fish.
Really?
I might try.
Or doesn't like seafood.
Yeah. I might sprinkle in some tuna eventually, but other than that, I don't eat.
What about fish tacos? That's how I like trick myself into eating fish.
Feels like a waste of time to me.
You don't like fish either, Ron?
No, I do, but it's like in the last like year and a half, I've just gotten into fish, and I love it now. Like, I'm like a blackened
salmon.
Seafood
is actually great. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind salmon. I just don't care to prepare it. Like, if someone else does it for me, I'll eat some salmon. But,
okay.
I've heard, like, what is it? What's the one that's supposed to taste like meat? It's like mahi-mahi, is that it?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's...
A fish? Yeah, mahi-mahi.
Yeah. So I think that could be good. I've never had it. And I'm not a sushi guy. Sushi weirds me out. I don't know why everyone's okay with it.
You got to try the deep fried sushi is the only way I fuck with it. It's amazing.
See, that sounds cooked to me, though, because it is. That's deep frying it is.
Correct. It's true.
Raw, uncooked, anything doesn't sit well with me.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
But fish is like you get the like heartiness of meat without like the tummy ache afterwards. There's
I
no tummy ache.
I understand what fish is. I don't think
you do. There's break absolutely no.
And I like fish and chips. I fuck with. That's just because I'm from Boston. Like you have to have fish and chips if you're from Boston or England. I guess those are the
so
places.
You do fuk with a fish and chips still.
Yeah. I haven't this year yet because I don't trust anywhere around here to make fish and chips. I'll go back home for that shit.
Yo, I got fish and chips from this place right by where I live out in Brooklyn, and it gave me a terrible bout of awful diarrhea.
Yeah, see?
Sand coming out of my body.
Fuck that.
About a month later, I was like, you know
Call
what?
Call them out. We don't want people to get sick.
It was like something sea wolf or something like that.
No, yeah. Anyway.
And then, but a couple months later, I went back to the same spot, and I was like, you know what? It was probably just my body that was wrong, and I got the same exact fish and chips dish, and sand was coming out of my body at fucking 1:30 in the morning. It was awful again. So yeah, I'm going to try it again. And I'm gonna
Third time, if a restaurant hurts me twice, I can't. Exactly. One time I'll put up like, okay, it might have been a bad that location, or it could have been me. Two times I'm out.
No, I've never given a place a second go. Never. I found a hair and a burger at American Joe's Bar and Grill when I was like 11. Never gone back
to American Joe's.
Yeah, American Joe's out.
Damn,
get out of here.
Fuck, that's tough for American Joe's.
How was the burger though?
Around the hair was fine.
You ate the burger?
No.
Though?
Before we get to Fultz. How nervous are you as someone who is known to inflict curses on others for a Patriot Eagles Super Bowl? Because that's possible. Highly probable.
I did put a curse on Dave saying that the Patriots will not win the Super Bowl this year because of how he danced on Carson Wentz's grave as he was freshly injured. And the night that I put that curse on, he was... The Patriots did lose that very night, almost as
the
if
Dolphins
like
game.
Thunder struck and lightning split the sky that night.
Game we lose pretty much every year. Yep.
It was kind of like the football gods nodding at me, saying, "Yes, you have made a pact with us." And then this past weekend, Dave got stung by a bee.
That's true. He did get stung. Mm. National news.
The curse kind of seems to have been persisting, and. I have belief in the curse. I don't.
What kind of like you already have enough pressure watching? Like you said, you have to watch these games alone. Now, like you're going to be at the Super Bowl with him, no matter who's playing. If it's Eagles, Patriots, that's just 2 weeks of you thinking about it.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary as fuck. Like I'm already scared about the Eagles, no matter who they play. Like there's an inherent fear, but there's also the inherent empowerment inside me, knowing that I'm a wizard and that I have the ability to cast spells and all kinds of trickery and double toil and trouble and things of that nature. So it's like it's trying to balance my fear with the power that I know I have and harnessing the two things simultaneously. So it's going to be tough work.
It's a juggling act.
Yeah, for sure. It's a juggalo act. And I'm going to try and... I'm gonna try and navigate it, straddle both sides of the fence. But it being an Eagles fan, any time that like you start to feel confident, you know you're fucked.
Right.
So I need to keep the fear in me.
Well, I'd wish you luck on that, but it would be against my team, so I can't. It's quite the bind you've put me in.
It's a curse. Don't take it personally. Markelle
Fultz.
Markelle Fultz, real quick, as you fucking eat that sloppy bowl of acai. Yeah. What is this?
Jesky didn't order it from the place we normally get it from.
It's baby food.
I'm fine. Babies eat well.
It's like cranberry sauce.
It does have like a little cranberry sauce-esque, but like melted, like cranberry sauce left out in the sun looking fucking bowl.
It's cold, too. I don't think you'd expect it to be cold.
Oh, no. No.
It's real cold.
It's chunky.
Yeah, it's fruit. That's what that is. Fruit. Ugh. Fruit. There's granola in here.
No.
No, no.
The powerful acai berry.
No. No.
And
get that superfood out of here.
My stomach hasn't hurt once this year.
That does sound awesome.
It hurt every day last year. Every single day last year it hurt.
That's the meat.
I know. It's still going to be in there.
Doing a large steak. Like, I wonder what.
I ate steak no less than four nights a week.
Really?
No less.
What?
Like, it's still staking your body.
That's what I'm saying.
Dog.
That's what I'm saying.
What are you, a madman?
It's
you
delicious.
Fucking
steak's delicious.
Deals? Steak is delicious for
Draper.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd literally make steak, broccoli, and potatoes like four nights a week.
What cuts of steak? You were making your own steak?
Yeah.
MYOS?
Yeah. No, I would.
Ribeye. He's cutting it off the flank.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would get like one of those four would be like fillets, and then the rest would be just like middle of the road steaks.
Like a top sirloin?
Yeah. And I'd pan sear them.
Ground chuck.
I'd get various spices.
Ooh.
I'd season my
meat.
That's
a lot of steak. Yeah.
It's a lot of steak. I have no idea why my stomach hurts so much.
Well, that was the
I
steak.
I might have eaten steak four times last year, and I like steak. I just not a four times a week.
But like
steak
work. The last time I really lost weight, every night I ate steak and rice, and it didn't hurt. So I don't know what changed.
That
Were
made
you 19?
No, it was like 3 years ago.
Did you have, did you ever do like steaks without like antibiotics or anything like that, or like any like healthy fucking
grass fed steak?
For sure not.
No,
I mean the other when I was doing the steak and rice, I wasn't even making it then. I was just going to two different places I know that made it well.
Okay, okay. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. Tyler, do you do red meat or just or like? You said you had steak only four times this past year. Did you have, like, would you eat, like, burgers and other red meat, or just, like, you're talking about steak, steak?
Yeah, I would. Like, I got no beef against steak.
Tyler.
But if I'm at a place, like, that has steak, I'll usually go, like, seafood, honestly.
It just sounds safer for the tummy.
Yeah, I agree.
It just protects the tummy a little bit better. I've heard that you're only supposed to eat, like, red meat, like, once a month.
Yeah, probably. It's not good for you.
Like four or five times a month of meat in general. Wait, are you being serious that it just sits in there?
In your stomach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your body can't digest it.
Yeah, yeah. It just sits.
Really?
It rots. That's why your stomach hurts. The gases and stuff like from rotting. Not to go PhD with us here, but yeah.
He watched a lot of documentaries.
Huh.
I watch a lot of YouTube, Ron.
Our teeth, I was saying this last like two episodes ago, our teeth aren't made to chew meat.
Huh.
Like we have vegetarian teeth. Where they're not supposed to eat meat.
So we're pussies.
If it weren't for fire, like we would never even would have thought of it. We wouldn't have crossed our mind to eat meat.
Huh.
So yeah.
It makes you think.
That really does.
I've been watching a lot of Kyrie Instagram videos.
Stop it.
So I'm kind of an expert on this kind of stuff. But yeah, no, we're not supposed to really eat meat, period. But we do because we can because we're at the top of the food chain. It's kind of a flex. Every time you eat meat, it's kind of just like a flex to the rest of the world.
I don't need this.
And people do it
right. Yeah, I'm just doing it
every
just
meal. Because. Like if you look at like old 1950s sitcoms, it's like you have bacon, sausage, eggs for breakfast, and then you have like a porterhouse for lunch, and then you have what's the thing where they wrap like a roast in like another meat?
A turducken?
Not that.
A rump roast?
Fuck. It's not. A baked Alaska is the dessert version of this.
Wait, that dude Baked Alaska is named after a dessert?
He sure is.
That shit is sweet.
He's a sweet little boy.
A sweet boy?
Oh, boy.
That'll get cut.
Problematic.
Yeah. But yeah, that's
wow.
Shouldn't eat meat.
A meatloaf with massive meats. Yeah, every night for dinner, 1950. And a glass of milk. You had enough protein to like last you all of your teens.
I'm worried about the steak in my stomach now. How do I get it out?
Go back to that place that gave you diarrhea.
Yeah. Get some fish and chips.
Is it like I need a high colonic or something like that? What's the thing where they like put a like a hose up your butt
and colonic.
Just like wash it out? Yeah, yeah. I need one of those. Anyway,
Markel Fultz.
I'm tired of not talking about it, and I'm tired of dancing around the subject because I don't want to hurt his feelings. And that honestly is how I've like. Kind of been treating it like, oh, I don't want to talk about Markel Fultz not having a jumper because I know it's a psychological issue.
Right.
And so if I talk about his psychological problems, that will just exacerbate the problems. That will just put a magnifying glass on something he already knows is wrong, and it'll like ruin him further.
Did you see what Brett Brown said?
I'm just waiting on him to fucking shoot a jump shot.
Wait, what did Brown say?
He said they were asking him if they envision him playing soon. He's like, how about he hits a jump shot first, and then we'll talk about it. Like, probably
great
not.
Confidence. Yeah. Great confidence from his coach.
The verbatim quote. Like, how about he just maybe like makes a jump shot one time? Just like one
if
time.
If he doesn't fucking suck, we'll give him some burn.
it was that kind of shit. It was, I mean, Brett Brown has to be frustrated as any other Philadelphia fans are. And I think the Sixers are putting him on display like that because they're like, look, he's healthy now. He just can't shoot. We can't fucking help him out. He just is not good at basketball. We fucked up.
Brett Brown was asked if Markelle Fultz needed to be 100% physically to return to the court. His immediate response, I think what he needs to be is able to shoot a basketball.
I don't know, because that's not fair. Simmons can't. He still lets him rock. But what's the...
Yeah, Embiid's shooting like 12% from three this year. He's still playing.
Yeah, so what's the deal, Brown?
Mo said that we're going to be the first team to win that ship without shooting one jump shot.
Maybe Charles Barkley was right.
We're a layup squad. You guys play sharpshooting small ball, and we're going to clog up the paint, and we're going to hit a bunch of layups, a lot of
big
layups.
Big ball.
We're going to play a lot of big ball.
When you guys were up 20 on the Celtics, did you think you were going to win that game?
Dude, I'm an idiot. Yeah, I thought we were going to win that. I was, like, talking shit. Tyler, I was walking around the office like, fuck all you Boston fucks.
Oh, that's
like,
right, I was home.
You could suck my fucking dick. Like, I was being the worst, most obnoxious human being. And then, like, the 25 Boston fans simultaneously turned on me as we blew that lead.
Oh, no.
It was bad, bro.
Well, the rim was crooked.
Yeah, it was absolute bullshit. But on Fultz, like, I just
I still think he's going to be – like, I still think he can beat this. I don't think this is, like, career.
Right? I also say he's not – I don't call him a bust right now.
No, that's way too early.
Yeah.
But he just needs the second act of his career to happen way sooner. Like, I mean, Brandon Graham I use this as an analogy. Brandon Graham was called a bust by Philadelphia for so long because he was taken right before Earl Thomas and because we needed a safety. But – in the long run, Brandon Graham has turned out to be a really good player for us, and Earl Thomas's Seattle Seahawks are not currently playing football. So it's like it'd be hasty to just call him a bust, but it would also be like sticking your head in the sand to be like, this guy
he's
is still, yeah, he's fine, or like he doesn't fucking suck at shooting a basketball right now.
There are a lot of Celtics fans who are taking great joy in Fultz's struggles, and I've already said it, but I'm going to keep saying it. Like, there's no reason for that. There's absolutely no reason. Like,
yeah, no, you guys won. Like, let it rock.
Right,
you already won.
Be
you
happy.
Can still want him to be fine.
Right. Be happy with what we got. We already have a franchise point guard, so it's like, why wouldn't you want, like, ideally, Philly and Boston are going to be playing a lot of playoff series together. I get you don't want the other team to be fucking loaded, but why wouldn't you want it to be as competitive as possible just from a basketball standpoint?
Boston fans with humility?
We don't have it.
I'll tell you what, though.
I threw him shot.
It is, Tyler. It's fucking, it's jarring. But I would like to harken back to the pre-draft, pre-trade days when everybody was convinced that not only would Boston draft Markelle Fultz, but that he was going to be the savior and a fucking beast. Coley, I know you were in that
him
camp.
And Isaiah were going to play together.
Right. And people completely bought in. Like, they thought that this was good. He was going to be a changing piece for the Celtics.
He was really good. There's a reason he went first. He was going first to anyone except for the Lakers. Like, the Lakers were the only team that were, apparently Ainge was going to take Tatum if he couldn't figure out a trade. I still don't know if that's true. But the Lakers were going to take Lonzo regardless. They had a gun to their head. They couldn't not take him. Fultz, everyone else was like, yeah, that guy's number one overall pick. Like, he's ridiculously good.
By the end of the season, it was a consensus. I mean, it was like a stacked guard class. There were a lot of good guards and wings. But at this point, like, all that looks like it's way out the window. Like, this was supposed to be like a top eight heavy draft, and like it's turned out to be a really weird draft class. Like, the top two guys can't really shoot. Like, the four guy can't really put it together. Like, Tatum's obviously doing a great job. Donovan Mitchell's obviously doing
the best play. Yeah. See, I think Mitchell's been more impressive than Tatum because Tatum's often like the third or fourth best guy on his own team on the court, which is not to take away anything from him. But if I'm comparing Mitchell to Tatum, like, Mitchell's kind of by himself. Like, Gobert's been hurt most of the year. He's kind of been their best player. Tatum's been really fucking good and really impressive. But Simmons was rookie of the year, and I think it's Mitchell too.
I think Mitchell's been anointed by a lot of, especially players he plays against, as that boy.
Correct.
Like, you don't see anybody else getting as much like post-game hugs, loves, and advice from other star players, right, especially not Tatum. They're like, oh, right, this guy Mitchell's different. This guy Mitchell is special.
Yeah.
He looks special, but Markelle Fultz certainly does not. So it's a tough time, but like, let's just be honest with ourselves. In Philadelphia, we have two guys who should be All-Stars for a long time.
Correct.
And one...
Robert Covington and J.J. Redick.
So, well, let's not forget Šarić. But we our number one overall pick is not very good. But that's it for me right now. Fellas, once again, I just love your program.
You always come in here and immediately disagree with us. I don't know if that's true.
maybe I just like to argue. Not that either of you guys are into that kind
right,
of thing.
Right, we are. So it's real weird, but
I'm here.
It seems to work.
People we appreciate
like
you all the same, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, bless you and bless America.
For Fultz, I think it's one guy he should be looking at to like how he should go about the rest of his career is Tyreke Evans. Not that they were, like, the most stylistically similar players by any means, but Tyreke, if we compare Tyreke's rookie season to Fultz at Washington, I think they were both 25-5 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyreke was looked at as this, like, laughingstock, like bust for a really long time. Which,
oh, yeah.
I mean, he was still putting up numbers, but it was like, oh, that's not a guy you want on your team to win or compete. And great.
Yeah, they were empty numbers. It's like everybody will be like, you know, the Kings are a wreck of a franchise. It's like, yeah, well, you know, they kind of shaped his formative years. Like, does that factor in his development? No, he sucks and they suck too. Oh, okay.
And right now, I mean, he's probably one of the top, like, trade targets in all of basketball because people are like, oh, we need that guy off our bench because we need somebody who can put the ball in the hoop. He's learned how to – he's not like a dead-eye three-point shooter, but he can now take that, and it's not like, oh, God, that's an automatic miss. So I understand in Fultz's mind and all the Philly fans – it's not the best fan base. Like, if Boston would be the same if he was doing this. It's not the best fan base to have at your back. Like, oh, we need to give this guy a few years. Like, oh, no, you need to be better today.
Right.
For him, that's not the best way to go about this. Like, he just need – like, relax. He's still – he's the youngest player in the league, right?
It's got to be like the only thing, like Roan alluded to, is like I don't know why these clips keep coming out. That's what I like. That why does this stuff keep coming out? Like if he's still shooting it like a medicine ball, like the hitch in his shot is getting worse. Why is this seeing the light of day? It should be like, yeah, no cameras in the gym.
And they're always like the other side of the court too. So probably they're being told not to do it.
Right. Yeah. Somebody's like, man, look at this dickhead. It never fails, and it's like, oh no, like this is again the last thing he needs.
So we're still pulling for him. There's no reason not to, like, again, it's really only Celtics fans. I don't know any other, maybe some Lakers fans who think they got Lonzo and are happy about it, but it's mostly just Celtics fans. Like, we get it. Like, Tatum's.
Yeah, no, he's, yeah.
Tatum's awesome. We snuck Kyrie in through the back door. Like, we're set. Like, that's all well and good. Like, Simmons and Embiid by themselves could still be big enough of a problem where we can't beat that. So let's not be dancing on Fultz's grave humanity reasons and for we might not be better than them still.
Again, that's the thing with point guards, man. If they're not out, you know, if they don't shake their first year, they just never turn to good guys. Like Billups, Conley, like any of these guys
Rondo.
That have ever, yeah, Rondo, have ever taken more than one season, you're pretty much out. And I get it. I get it.
I mean, that guy's almost 20. Oof.
Man, oh, man.
Do you have the ad near you?
Let's see. I can. Here we go. Stitch Fix. Then. Intro. Highlighted. Colon. Or semicolon. I never really learned the particulars there, and I'm much too old to learn a new trick now. Unless you're somewhere south of the equator, sweater weather is officially here. Buddy, it's past that. It's cold as fuck. That's all in the ad. Time to pull out the long sleeve shirts, sweaters, and jackets. But if last year's layers are feeling tired, here's an easy way to give your closet an underlined wake-up call. Both words underlined. And it doesn't involve going shopping. Instead, you can get cool, cold-weather clothes from the style experts at Stitch Fix. They've taken everything you don't like about shopping for clothes. The crowded malls, the pushy salespeople, the endless online options dash, and replace them with one simple website that does all the work for you. Just go to stitchfix.com, answer some basic questions about your sizes, your favorite styles, and your budget. Why are there three dots after budget? I feel like they're implying we like broke boys. Like, you know, if your budget, if you're a little light in the pocket.
Yeah,
you're...
even your budget. Yeah, you. Okay.
You poor fuck.
You faceless boy.
Your personal stylist will take it from there, handpicking five pieces based on your preferences, all for a small styling fee of just $20.
Like, how much? Seems fair.
Just $20.
Wow.
Like, if somebody's going to do all that, like, if somebody's going to go outdoors for me, I'll give you a cool 50. Yeah, like, that'll just,
no problem.
I'm saving myself 30. And you're going to do my shopping, and it's my size. It's within my limited budget, according to Stitch Fix. And I don't have to deal with pushy salespeople. That's a win. And if you keep any item in your fix, the $20 gets applied as a credit. So it's really not even like $20.
Correct. Yeah, no, it's, you're paying that person's making nothing, and you just keep it, you keep being poor.
It's basically slave labor. The five items are delivered to your home.
On MLK Day, no less.
You try them on and only pay for what you keep. Just send back anything you don't want. Shipping is free both ways, and so are exchanges. I don't know why that's in there. Yeah, but there's not going to be exchanges because you – if there's exchanges because you answered something wrong. They literally ask you every question about your dimensions, so that's on you, not them. Best of all, there's no subscription required and no club to join. Get your fix.
That's
monthly.
The biggest part.
I don't like joining things. No. Yeah, I've never been much of a club person. Like in high school, did you do clubs? I didn't do clubs.
Well, certainly not in high school.
Chess club? McMahon was in Beta Club?
I didn't. That wasn't the type of club. I was thinking about the club Julio was going to like jump you in.
Oh no, that'll be a simple Mexican restaurant here in the Atlanta area.
Why? Because his name's Julio?
Yeah. Yes. Quintoris is going to catch me slipping in Busy Bees while I'm having some nice apple pie.
He might need to go like how Mike Stanton went to Giancarlo Stanton. He might need to be Quintoris Jones next year.
It might be the only option. I don't know how he comes back from this red zone.
Fiasco.
Aberration. Actually, I do know how. He goes to Stitch Fix. That's how.
Wow.
Get your fix monthly, quarterly, or whenever you want it, Quintoris. So as long as you get it, I promise you'll be hooked. Call to action. Get started now at stitchfix.com/tape, and you'll also get 25% off when you keep all five items in your box. Again, you keep all five, the 20 goes toward the credit. Or no, you keep any, the 20 goes toward the credit. You keep all of them, you get 25% off. Pretty damn good. The McMahon disagrees.
You can't beat it. No, I'm just astonished at how good the deal is.
He couldn't believe it. That's stitchfix.com/tape to get started today. stitchfix.com/TAPE tape.
Thinking about words. Thinking about things that leave me astonished that I could not believe. Carl Anthony Towns dominated. Oh, wow. Fucking leveled Kristaps Porzingis yet again.
Wait a minute. Wait, two things. One, he didn't have a triple-double, so that's just simply inaccurate.
I didn't say he had a great game. I just said he dominated the matchup.
Again, it wasn't a triple-double, so what did he dominate? The double-double world? Fuck out of here. And two, we got another ad. Are we just jumping past that? We got two this week.
Listen, I'm just teasing people for what's coming. It was a natural segue from what I couldn't believe to what that happened, that
still
also happened.
Can't believe.
Correct. So, yeah, keep going. At the ad, I knew it was definitely coming.
Let's see. Keeps. We've got a new friend here on Mixtape, and copy points are suggestions only. Please make this read your own, delivering CTA. I don't know what that means. And bolded lines verbatim. Please share someone else's experience with early. Coley! Have you ever had an early hair loss?
I sure have, Tyler.
Wow. What impact did it have on you or their life?
It made my already terrible-looking face much worse.
Now, let me ask you this. Are there treatments that you or they have used that worked?
Hats. Many hats.
Sure.
Just hats.
That's it?
The hats,
period?
Hats.
Period? I got you. What about any crazy snake oil treatments that you tried and didn't work? Let your listeners know they can take action with Keeps. Let them know. Tell them now.
Listeners, you can take action with Keeps.
Listen, hair loss isn't just your old man's problem. It happens earlier in life than you think. By 35, 2 out of 3 men will start losing their hair. Don't I fucking know it. But hair loss is actually easy to prevent if you get started early. Introducing Keeps, a new company offering a simple, clinically proven, affordable. They should have labeled affordable. I don't really care what they did in the clinic. I'm not a doctor. That's none of my business.
Sure, they could be lying. Who knows?
Yeah. Again, none of my business. Affordable way to stop hair loss. With Keeps, it's easier than ever for guys like you to keep your hair. Focus on. Keeps is the easiest way to keep your hair. That's why they call it Keeps, you understand?
Yeah, you keep that shit.
Keeps offers the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products clinically proven to keep the hair you have.
That's big.
You can sign up in less than 5 minutes, which is big. Think about how much hair you could lose in 5 minutes. It's a lot of fucking follicles. You could be bald as shit in 6 minutes, boy. But Keeps is entirely online and only $10 to $35 a month. So it's $1 a day or less on average. I'd pay that to get my hair back.
Absolutely. That's a fucking steal.
Are you kidding me? Keeps, where were you when I was like 21? This is half of what you typically pay at the pharmacy, and you'd have to go outdoors to the pharmacy. So there's that.
Yep.
Would you like to hear the details?
I'm indifferent.
I knew you would. Getting started with Keeps is so easy. You just answer a few questions and snap some photos. A licensed doctor remotely reviews your information and gives you the right prescription, all without ever leaving your couch.
I just picture you take like these, like you're basically just taking selfies and like pictures of your head, and they just got, they have doctors, yes, but they also have just like a roast room. Okay, they just, oh, it's just people sitting there like,
no, yeah, the doctor, they're PhDs in cracking jokes. Yeah, you understand? It's not like dermatology or any shit.
This is Peyton,
boy,
Manning,
you
ass,
bald as shit, boy.
Peyton Manning ass forehead.
Boy, look like Humpty Dumpty in the face. But within 2 to 3 days, a 3-month supply of your treatment will arrive perfectly packaged at your door. They put it in something discreet. It says like porn or something. No, something very discreet.
You walk,
your
in, with the,
won't know.
You walk in with the box. Your wife's like, honey, what is that, hair treatment?
No, no.
I was at the pornography store. I was buying pornography.
Oh, okay. She just goes back to her People magazine. Yeah. Call to action. Stop hair loss today the easy way with Keep, offering customized treatment plans with only FDA-approved hair loss products for about $1 a day from the comfort of your couch. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/Mick. It'd be a real shame if they wanted to send us a little trial of this. A real shame, Keeps.
I think they might be able to do that, Tyler.
Oh? Well, hit my line. It's open. But as for your line, make sure it goes to KEEPS.com/Mick. Now, they spelled out Keeps, but not Mick, which seems unfair.
If you don't know the Mick by now,
Keeps. You deserve to be bald.
Yeah, Keeps is in the know.
Simple and plain. That's a free month of treatment at Keeps.com/Mick. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow, hair forever.
See, I didn't like, I wish I was just going bald. My shit just like receded a bit and then got super thin in the front, which is maybe worse.
It might, yeah, like if you go like fully bald, there are ways to.
You can rock that.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Mine is, it's just going on the edges, which if I get it, like the Kobe one against the grain, when he first realized the fro was going, hard to tell, but like 2 days in, I'm out here looking like fucking George Jefferson. It stinks. I'm glad I have Keeps in my life now. Again, my address is on file. It'd be a real shame if y'all sent me a couple months product to try.
Because like when I first like met Chaps, he was trying to tell me like milk was the reason my hairline was receding. It's like, oh no, buddy. When I was 14, it was this far back. Like this, not there's no
blame, now the milk didn't help for sure, but don't blame that.
Yeah. Let's get stuff in order here. But also,
for the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules ain't slain anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
People would make deals with like the devil to get their hair back. So a dollar a day is an outrageous deal.
A steal. A steal. I'd sell my soul every day to get my hair back. A dollar?
And I can only imagine, like, the type of deal with the devil, the type of soul selling that would happen for Karl Anthony Towns to just take it easy on Kristaps one time. Just one time.
You'll go wanting, buddy. You'll go to bed without your dinner because we don't know if that'll ever happen.
I can't imagine how upset people that constantly dance around in our mentions must get when these two. Like, here's the thing. Like, Roan's nervous about the Eagles game. Some Patriot fans are nervous about the Jags game. I'm sure Chaps is nervous about it. I never get nervous when I make a proclamation about Towns that he has to go up and live up to it. He doesn't even fucking know me. But I put that pressure on myself, basically, because I'm the one talking the shit. Yeah. I have to live with it if it doesn't work. Like, that game was 10 minutes in, and I was like, oh, yeah, he did it again. The Towns is yet to let me down.
I don't know. And even, like, early in that game, the Knicks were winning. I was like, this just isn't going to hold.
No.
Just the way this is going, yeah, this isn't going to hold. And sure enough, it did not.
Now, Jimmy Butler's playing amazing basketball the last 3 weeks or so. Amazing basketball.
Right.
So is Karl Anthony Towns.
Hmm?
Like, Jimmy Butler's getting all this credit. Deserved credit. He's the new face there. They stunk last year. They're good this year. He deserves, I think there's something crazy, too, like 25 and like 3 against the West or something ridiculous. Like, they're losing to the East. They're not even losing to the West. Ridiculous.
But what can you do, man? Have you seen the Wizards? No, literally. Have you seen them? They fucking stink. they got the Wolves figured out, though.
Towns. When we talked about the outside team like a month ago, we said he probably won't make it. I think it's going to be absolutely preposterous when he's not on the roster at this point. I don't know what else he can do.
Correct. Again, like, I feel like I've been hearing mostly, like, I feel like this season more than any other, people were just going since December 1st. Like, when Harden was cooking, it was like since December 1st.
Right.
Like, Butler started cooking, it's like since December 1st. So I pulled up the numbers for our two friends, Chris Stapps and Carl, since December 1st.
Oh, no, Tyler, I might have to cut this. I don't know if people...
Whom's numbers would you want first? You tell me.
How about you give them blind, and then I guess.
Okay. Fair is fair. One of these gentlemen, since December 1st, is averaging 21 points a game, 7 boards, 2 assists, a steal, 2.5 blocks, on 40% shooting from the field, 36% shooting from the three-point line, and 78% shooting from the foul stripe.
Okay.
One of these gentlemen in 18 games.
Solid numbers.
Solid numbers. The other gentleman is averaging 20 points, 12 boards, 3 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.7 blocks. He's shooting 55% from the field, 47% from the three-point line, and 81% from the foul stripe. And he's done it in 23 games. Blind, yeah, taste blind. So who you got? Who's who?
Well, one of them is averaging one more points. So that means he's better, right?
He's the superior and more blocks. Don't forget.
Yeah, it's true. They're nearly a whole block more.
Correct.
That's so tough. I'm gonna have to guess. Is there like a third?
You're wrong.
Is there like a third? Like, those are both. That's like Kristaps, like, home versus road splits. Like, Towns are actually, he's like averaging like 9-7 and 0 assists because he's bad.
Those are both Juan Hernan Gomez. I hate to pull the wool over you, fella.
What's great about Towns only averaging 20 on those preposterous shooting splits that you just mentioned, like, he's getting 12 shots a game.
Oh, literally, that's the thing. He's averaging exactly 20 points a game on 13 shots. Porzingis is averaging 21, so more points on 20 shots.
Yeah.
So 7 more shots for 1 point.
He had 17 points on 19 shots against the Wolves. Last night.
LaMarcus Porzingis.
Yeah. Last night, I think he finally got it the right way. I think he had 25 on 24 shots. Like, that's bad. That's bad.
No, it's actually good, you understand.
By the way, I had someone because last night Towns got another double double to continue leading the league. So someone tweeted that at me, obviously, because there are a few good souls out there.
Sure.
And I quote tweeted it being the sarcastic prick that I am, be like, when is this? I really hope this guy figures it out soon, gets it on the straight and narrow, and salvages this horrific career. And someone
getting concerned.
Yeah, someone just tweeted me a GIF of someone beating a dead horse, and like, buddy, if you think we're close to done with this,
you ever seen like the horse has been completely evaporated?
Oh yeah,
the bones have settled into the ground. And I'm still just punching the dirt.
Just
get started.
We're going to get all the way through to China when we're done beating this horse.
Like, and then Towns will turn 25.
I
think it was Jeff Van Gundy the other day. He was like, double doubles are overrated now. Go tell me about double doubles. While I don't disagree with that in general, I still feel like 20 and 12 double doubles may be underrated.
Correct. Correct.
Again, if you're getting 11 and 11 and you're in the doubles double mix with the guys getting 30 and 20, probably disingenuous, but yeah, a legit 20 and 12, literally every game of your career, decent.
How many people in the league right now are averaging 20 and 10?
Let's see.
It's got to be him and Boogie, right? Like, I don't know, Anthony Davis.
It's always Elton Brand. EB will be in there.
Like Al Horford. Al Horford's a tremendous player. He's very good. Right. I enjoy having him on our team. I'm pretty sure he just had his first 20 and 10 game with the Celtics like a week ago.
Jesus. I see. Yeah.
Towns does that
I'm just
every
looking at the
guys
night. Averaging, yeah, I'm just looking at the guys averaging 10 rebounds a game. There are only 10 of them. Drummond, no. DeAndre, no. Boogie, yes. Dwight, no. Towns, yes. Capella, no. Embiid. So Embiid's
okay,
up there.
Embiid,
yeah, he's got to be averaging 20. AD. More Cats, Enes Kanter, and Jokic. Those are the only 10 people in the league averaging 10 rebounds again. Giannis is at 9.9, to be fair.
Okay, so we'll count him.
Yeah.
So Giannis, AD, Embiid, Cousins, and that asshole Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl asshole Towns.
His defense is there now. Like, he's not an all-world rim defender, but he's playing good defense, like objectively good defense right now.
Without a question. I know one of the things like people kept sending me last year, he was worse than Okafor per the defensive RPM, and he was. So I looked up this year right now for defensive RPM for centers, and I looked for guys getting 25 minutes a game. I feel like that seemed fair.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst centers, he's 16. Which, with what he gives you on offense, if he's average, that's a plus,
right,
especially from where he was.
Literally middle of the road.
Yeah. It's the first time he's had a positive defensive RPM in his career thus far. And Porzingis, for comparison, is 12th amongst power forwards against, again, guys getting 25 minutes a game.
Now,
so I don't. The math ain't mathing, man. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the arguments continue to be he's playing out of position, which I could say for both guys, and... Well, he's like the center of the team. Like, if you don't think Carl Anthony Towns is the center of the Timberwolves, like, he just went out and put like 30 and 23 on the Celtics. Like trust me, he's fucking pro. You can't be like, oh, well, we're going to focus all our efforts on Jimmy. You know, it's going to have you going to fucking lose.
Correct. He's going to be, what was it, like 47 and 18, whatever he gave Porzingis, like that when I looked at their head to head numbers. That's what I keep hearing. Like, with as well as the Wolves are playing, and they are playing tremendous, like, Butler's, he should be an MVP candidate. One, he won't. It's fine, but he won't. Two, again, I feel like in that same stretch, Towns has been doing like the efficient offensive numbers and the improved defense. Like, I feel like he has to be in that mix at least.
Jimmy Butler, I can't remember where I heard this. He is first in defensive rating and fourth in offensive rating, probably since December 1st.
Just start the season then now. December 1st, start of the season. First 5 weeks just don't matter.
And overall, net rating, he's first combined because no one else is probably top five in either. So he's playing incredibly well. There's no
Correct.
Argument
He's a very
about
good
that.
Player.
Yeah. There's a reason most of the league was trying to trade for him.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what to say at this point. Did Carl Anthony Towns in the five games – he's played against Kristaps. 27.8 points.
Okay.
Decent. Mm. 12 rebounds, which is just what he just goes on the court and immediately gets 12 rebounds, apparently.
Yeah, they just chalk him up. Just go ahead and just box score. It doesn't even matter.
3.2 assists and 2 blocks. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I also feel like, I still feel like he has a element of his passing to unlock. Like, that was one of the first things I saw about him at Kentucky. I was like, this guy's a really good passer, and I don't think he's shown it yet and necessarily got to show, or maybe he hasn't earned the right to show it yet. Like, I don't disagree with that either, but I think that's coming. Like, the defense is now, I think passing is next.
I agree with that. I think for right now, focus on the defense. Like, because he already has the, like, he has the passing. Like, that's a thing. It's a skill he already has. He just hasn't been fully using it. And I mean, when he was coming out, I said he was going to be a combo of Al Horford and Kevin Love. And both of those guys are tremendous passers. And that was part of the reason I didn't go to other people. I went to those two because they're bigs who can score on their own and can pass.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't lose passing. Like, you don't just forget. Like,
you would hope not. Like, I was talking about the other day. Like, he was getting rebounds over Kanter and Porzingis. They were like, why aren't you talking about, like, because Kanter had a good game, too. I was like, yeah, two Kentucky guys are playing well. Like, is that was your point against me? You're gonna, like, shame on me. Both of my boys are doing well.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm shocked and appalled. Still no apology from Old Takes Exposed for my correct take. Like, that's for all, like, A, me, I don't matter at all. So using me for your shtick, not the best look for you. But also, I'm not wrong. Like, why isn't the whole point they expose old incorrect takes? Like, I thought that was the whole point.
Me and Old Takes were, like, they admitted I have no old wrong sports takes. The food takes got them fired up, though. Like, what? Raw steak? What? Well done. That's absurd. You're a monster.
Your food takes will anger most people. It's true.
I've seen it. Take it from me.
But I might have set a record. I might have been the first person on Old Takes Exposed to be correct.
Oh, wow.
Like,
the good thing is, when you're correct about these things, the same people that were wrong always come and admit they were wrong.
They give you credit. That's the best part about it. You're right.
It's the best part about the internet.
And I have...
I sincerely love it. Oh, one stat I forgot in those since December 1st numbers, overall Kristaps is per game is a minus 1.3. Which, like, they're not a good team, right? Like, if they're, like, correct, a basically average team, yeah, I don't think that's necessarily on him. But in that same time, Towns plus 11.5. His team is 11 points a game better when he is on the court versus when he is not.
I mean, you keep giving up these stats. Fake news media just painting, cherry-picking stats. I hate to see it.
I'm just waiting for Towns. Like, they talk 50, 40, 90. I don't know if he'll get there. I do think he could do 55, 45, 85, which might be more impressive. Like, if you're a big man shooting 55 and 45 and can also knock down 85%, I'm fine with that over Steve Nash's 50, 40, 90 on 7 shots a game.
But how many triple-doubles is really what it boils down to?
Not enough.
Right.
Not enough is the answer.
So you hate to see it. People have also asked, like, why do you guys care about Towns so much? It's like, we both enjoy generational players, which is funny to say on the same episode we talked about Jerry Rice, how we did. But
sure.
I like seeing very talented people. Like, as much as I hated on LeBron when he was in Miami, it was because of the Miami thing. The rest of his career, like, no one's lived up to expectations in any sport. Like Griffey might be the only other one, like LeBron.
I don't even know if you could put it on sports.
Right. Fair.
In anything ever, the expectations levied on him at like 16 years old, he's
surpassed.
Succeeded. Yeah, easily.
So I like when other people do that as well. Like, Durant was a guy I was like, oh, this guy at Texas. Like, even Melo. A lot of people aren't going to say Melo fits, but he does. Like, Melo's had an incredible career.
Easily.
Towns was someone who it seemed so obvious. You're a Kentucky guy, so you saw it too. But it seemed so obvious this guy was going to be next. He's going to be in this conversation. But immediately, there was Okafor is better. Like, well, that's not true. And that's been proven correct. And it wasn't true.
But the defensive RPM, Coley. Don't you get it?
That's when cherry picking stats goes wrong. Like, let's shut the fuck up, all right? Let's just shut the fuck up. If it weren't for, I don't think if it were for that initial pushback, it would have been, all right, well, now I need to be invested in this guy. And it's every fucking 20 games there's some new adversary. Well, it's like, oh, well, he's not as good as Wilt Chamberlain. It's like, all right, well, who's talking about that?
He's no Mikan, man. Did you see what Mikan was doing at 22? Lifting steel at the factory? What was he doing at 22?
And when people found the tweets, I had laughing, like, Porzingis going first. Like, yeah, that's still laughable. That would have been laughable if it had happened. Everyone on the internet would have ripped that if that had happened.
He went, what, fourth? And it was still laughed and booed. So, yeah.
Right. That's
also, no, what were you saying?
I was going to say, that's a thing that happened.
It's true. I was going to say, like, generational talent. Like, again, we like to see them playing well. Yeah, Porzingis, too. And again, since December 4th, a 7-3 guy shooting 39%, not great. I want him to play better, especially with that start to the season. Like, you know, he's got it in him. If he's tired, you know, worn down from being the number one on a bad team, I get that too. I still need more than 6 boards a game.
Guy just hates rebounding.
That I don't know why that gets glossed over. Like, I feel like him getting 6 a game is kind of glossed over. And Drummond getting legit 15 a night is kind of just like, I don't know. 15 boards is kind of a fucking lot.
Yeah, the Drummond hate this summer kind of reached a peak, and now he's just back to averaging. What is he at, like 15-15 or like 12-15?
Let's see. 14.6, 15, and 4 assists. Having a fine year.
And he's just getting no credit. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, nah. Hitting 63% of his free throws, which is, like, as a center.
Like double what he was hitting last year.
Yeah, like, I feel like DeAndre, too. I think, right. Let me see. I feel like DeAndre's in the 60s. Yeah, DeAndre's at 60%.
Perfect.
Career 44. Like, yeah. So he's also averaging 14.9 rebounds a game. So, yes.
That's silly.
These guys are actually okay.
So the more people keep trying to – because, again, I was real quiet about Towns this year. It wasn't until Kristaps had, like, a solid November. I don't even think Thanksgiving had been served yet, and people were coming at me about, oh, well, you were wrong. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. But yeah, that's how you know Towns is the king, man. Anybody that is on top is like, yeah, he had a hot month, man. What do you think about that Draymond Green fella? He had 11 points and a triple-double once.
Imagine in music, like, Chingy's got the number one song in the country. He's better than Jay-Z. Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know. Jay-Z never made This Is Why I'm Hot. Maybe Mims is better.
It just blows my mind. Like, yeah, like, I really like Towns coming out. My fucking Twitter name was Tank for Towns the entire time he was at Kentucky. The entire time. And it didn't work out. It very much didn't work out. But he's fucking – I remember I was at Coachella with Abe Broman, who's a
– Sure.
Shout out to him. His Vikings just won. He's a Minnesota native.
Our Vikings?
Yes.
But yes, Abe Broman, good people.
And I was telling him, because they look like the Wolves were going to be in position to be getting another top three pick. And I was like, look, man, there's no one else. Like, you want Towns. That's the guy. He was like, all right, I'll start watching him. And then I think it was like 5 games into his rookie season, he sent me a text. He was like, you were right. This is the guy.
Like, people have asked – I've had multiple people ask me, like, how did you see it with Towns? And my question – like, not even to be a dick. It's like, how did people not see this? Like, how did you watch that and not be like, man, this guy can really do everything. It's 7 feet tall and 18 years of age.
It's the craziest because we live in a time where I hate per 36. That guy didn't play that many minutes. I don't understand the point. Like, I get per 100 possessions more because that's about almost average.
Brandon Wright is the best in either, but yes, go on.
But since everyone else is so enamored with using per 36 as like the baseline, like these, like Towns' per 36 at Kentucky were fucking preposterous.
Correct. I don't know, man. That guy, he was no Oak man. He was no Okafor. I don't know what he could do with his back to the basket. Score?
Yeah.
Score a lot in the Elite Eight when we needed it? I don't know.
He literally beat Notre Dame by himself.
People forget that.
Like, just every time down, they were like they would even try other shots, and they wouldn't go in. Towns would be like, fine, I'll get the rebound, and I'll score on my own. Like, whatever, guys.
you guys have forced my hand.
So, I'm with you. I don't get how people didn't see it. I don't get how people still don't. People still don't see it.
Oh, no. If he, like the beating the dead horse thing, you guys should just hope that this is the best Towns gets. Because God forbid he ever puts it all together, I will never shut up. Again, I still beat MKG's horn. I'll tell you, he'd lock up Jordan. Jordan wouldn't get a shot off. Is Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Don't let Towns legit throw up like a 26-13, 4 assists, make second team all defense, and shoot 55-45-85. You'll never hear the end of me.
It's I just don't get it.
I don't want to get it.
Right. You're right. You're right. Because why, like, those people don't have the juice. They don't see it. They really
don't.
They
don't have what we call it.
They sure don't. They don't have the it to find it, which is even worse than not having it in the first place.
Correct. You know, a young person, I don't know if they have it, but I think they might have what might become it.
Jaren Jackson?
Damn it. Way to step on the point now.
Who?
Dragon Bender.
Ooh.
I've been watching since Book's been back. I've been watching quite a bit of Suns. I like what I've seen out of him.
Is it the defense?
I really do. I think with his defense, I think he's also playing out of position just because they have Tyson Chandler and Alex Lynn. Like he's a power forward that he just should be a center.
Okay.
Like his defense is, I feel like, under the basket, like positioning and all that. And when he plays with those guys, he has to do other stuff, which he shouldn't be doing.
Yep.
Can shoot the three. He doesn't shoot well from the field right now. I feel like that's a strength thing. Like, I think like he'll get older and stronger. He just turned 20. And again, I'm a big age proponent guy.
Sure.
If I say it's in favor of Jackson, I got to say it for him too.
Correct.
He'll finish his second year being 20. And can already shoot the three. I think he's got some passing chops. And
he did pre-draft. I haven't seen them in the league yet, but I also don't trust like Phoenix's anything outside of their medical staff. I don't trust.
Correct. Well, that's like, and just in watching them, it was a lot of like Booker gets hot, they double team, he gets it to Bender. They've got like a 4-on-3, and Bender makes the right pass. Like a lot of bigs can't do that.
Correct.
A lot of young people can't do that.
Correct.
So as a 20-year-old big, he can already do that. So I think there's some passing chops there. And he's shooting 37% from three. So I see the vision.
Okay.
I can see the vision.
That's big. I mean, earlier this year, you were trying to trade him several times. So that's big.
Oh, yeah. Literally weeks ago. I would still like to see him at center full time. And again, with Marquese Chris, I don't think he's shown as many like tools as Bender, but he's got like ridiculous athleticism, and he, again, also 20. So I'm not ready to give up on him yet either.
Listen, Chris, this was a while ago now, but they were playing the Hawks, and
oh yeah, the inbound.
No, not even that. It was a pick and roll at the top of the right wing. It was pick and roll, and his guy like looped around for, and I don't even know if it was his guy going for the alley-oop now that I think about it, but Schroeder threw a lob.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know which one.
Chris was at the, like, he had a foot on the 3-point line. He threw a lob, and the second he went to throw, Chris immediately reacted, ran to the rim, and blocked the alley. Like, he got there faster than the ball, or I guess at the exact same speed as the ball. And, like, those kind of instincts and athletics combined with that athleticism is so rare. I see a lot of, like, I follow a lot of Suns fans. I don't know how that happened, but just did.
Shame on you.
Yeah, and a lot of them are all in on Bender, like, for the reasons you just said, but they're very low on Chris. Like, I think it's because they're both playing power forward right now when they should probably be playing together.
Like, Bender is their five. I don't know what – I think Chandler's got two more years. I think Lynn is out after this year.
I think so, too.
So, so more minutes for Bender at the five. And again, I don't – like, there are some times where Chris is like, I don't know if this guy's ever seen a basketball before. And then it's times where, like you said, in that play, like, for him to recognize it and also not only recognize it but be able to physically make the play. Again, he just turned 20 as well. So I'm not ready to count out either one of those guys yet.
You know what? Strong agree. We're gonna be in on the Suns because I used to hate the Suns for like the past like 6 years, specifically because they were the team. Like, oh, watch out for them this year. They're gonna make a run they never made. Right. We're gonna be the team that's in on the Suns. Not next year, probably the year after. Like after they get Trae Young in there, his rookie year passes. Book's in year like four at age 17. Yeah. Bender and Chris are 22. Like that's the year I think we say they make the run.
Oh yeah, I'm like they can somehow pull Trae Young out of it, and I've detailed how they can and should.
Correct.
So there's no excuses. with Ryan McDonough, whoever's GM there, just yeah, just go do it. How about that?
While we were talking about the Suns, I just got a hot tip on some Milwaukee Bucks news.
Uh-oh.
Milwaukee is signing the Marshall Plumlee.
Oh, no.
They're signing him to a two-way contract off of a G League team. Like, G League team names always kill me. This is one I did not know existed. The Agua Caliente. Which of course means hot water.
Muy good. I like it.
Milwaukee, I think the worst rebounding team in the league. Just got
need a Plumlee.
Yeah, they needed a Plumlee. They're here now. Plumlee in tow.
I didn't know what you were gonna. I thought you were gonna say sign him to like a 4-year, $55 million. I didn't know which way that was gonna end.
Just a two way. They're like, yeah, we'll check you out. Sure.
Yeah, fine. Did you know Perkins is playing G League? That should be illegal.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me.
I thought there was an age limit on that. That's absurd.
Listen, I know Ben Gordon played in it last year.
That's absurd. Like, you're like, man, I'm 22. Why is Kendrick Perkins setting a screen on me? Like, what part of the fucking game is this?
Look, Jordan was playing minor league baseball at like 34. I don't know. He took a spot from someone.
Nah, it's true. Never got a fair shake. That guy was me. God damn it.
Yeah, no, Perk's down there. He's just waiting on a call.
I hope it never comes.
You son of a bitch. Kendrick Perkins never did anything to you.
That's exactly why I don't like him. He's not for me. He's against me.
I hope that's the only thing that could get me against Towns is him going up against Big Daddy Perk in the playoffs.
Yeah, you'd be... pins and needles. You have the half Perkins, half Anthony Towns jersey. P. Anthony Towns on the back.
It's just like one possession Towns dunks on Perkins. The other one, he gets the ball real low, up fakes twice. No one falls for it. Gets it stripped on his way up. I'm like, both these guys are doing exactly what they usually do. I'm torn.
He calls for the foul. You're just biting your nails. And they're both playing hot.
I love, man. Kendrick Perkins is someone I'll always love. There's nothing. The guy can't do any wrong in my eyes. He did plenty wrong. Don't get me wrong, but
But you remember when he ran that school bus of children off a cliff? You remember that? That wasn't wrong.
Listen, I just thought it was physically impressive. He was carrying an entire school bus. All right, sorry for looking between the lines on that one.
Tomato, goddamn tomato, Whiskers.
Listen, if Kendrick Perkins just knew how to keep the ball at his chest, he would have been a 20-10 guy. There's no doubt in my mind. He just always had to bring it. In order for him to jump with the ball in his hands, he had to bring it all the way to the floor, and it never once made it up. Not once.
I was like, if the ball never went below his shoulders, he's still in the league, 17 and 15 a night.
It would have been like Drummond times like Boogie. Like, that's what we would have been talking about.
It's not even like with the guy, like Drummond's athleticism, you named him. Like, if he gets one gather down, he's just going to go up and dunk. That's just like the athleticism. Yeah. Perkins gets it, goes up like 12 inches in the air, gets stripped, looks for the foul. Otherwise, yeah, fast break on the other end, and one.
God damn it. Love
Kevin. Outside that, great player, a lot to like.
There's so much to like. Motherfucker. Oh, I miss him. You talk about a golden age.
86-83 Celtics ball. Man, I miss it.
Kendrick Perkins played in so many championships.
True.
Not even with just the Celtics. He's been all over the place playing in championships.
That guy's a winner.
The Cavs. He played with the Thunder. He played with the Celtics. This guy's all over the place.
That guy's just I like what they say about guys that have literally never won anything. They said, I think about Josh Rosen. They're like, yeah, he lost in the high school championship. They never won the division at UCLA, but that guy just wins, man. I don't know what to tell you. They went 8-5, man. That guy's a winner.
Big game James Shield. Never won a big game in his life.
Big game Josh Allen. Wyoming was 6-6, man.
I'm already – have you started to see the pro Josh – like, they're really creeping in, the pro Josh Allen tweets?
Oh, no. I'm very afraid.
Like,
Wentz is going to get Josh Allen drafted high.
Correct. And Wentz was a much – like, Wentz was an actual winner. He just played games no one watched. So that's why people were low on him. Josh Allen, we saw. We saw 2 years of him.
Not great.
No.
Or even good.
I've seen him crawling in, though. They'll just be like, here's one. I saw legitimately this. It was a play. He took the snap. He rolled out to the right, like was getting pressure, scrambled, threw a very nice touchdown to the right corner of the end zone. Like, it was a great play. And, like, the title was like, or the tweet was like, you can see why teams are going to fall in love, like, well, we can fix them type. And then one of the replies to it was like, this is the same game? He threw 4 interceptions? Like, of course it was. Like, well, of course it was.
I've never seen Lamar Jackson do that. I've never seen Lamar Jackson put a, you know, well-placed ball through a window. Not once.
Listen, I don't know if we've already accepted this. Josh Allen's going to get drafted before Lamar Jackson.
Well, he'll get drafted at 2 positions before Lamar Jackson gets drafted at quarterback. I'll draft him a shooting guard. The Suns might take Josh Allen.
They could use his height.
It's true.
It's
Trae Young 1, Doncic 2, Josh Allen 3.
God damn it. So many teams. I was watching Trae Young Saturday before football started. It was Saturday. And he just kept, like, he just doesn't. I found when he doesn't shoot, it's usually when things go awry.
Correct. Yeah, I think, like, Lon Kruger's plan is just like, yeah, just shoot every time. Pass the ball to Tucker. That's the Oklahoma offense.
He is fucking filthy. He's just so good.
Let me ask this about Trae Young. As a, like, number one, or, yeah, like, he's the number one point guard prospect. Where is he? Like, we talked about, he's better than Fultz, right? At the same, if they were in the same draft, who would go first, Fultz or Trae Young, going off their freshman year?
If they were in the same draft, I mean, Fultz never got the type of coverage and hype Trae Young got. It was always kind of just like people who truly watch basketball were like, yeah, that's the guy. And that's not a knock on anyone. It's just the people who were actually watching were like, oh, that's the number one guy. Because even the day of the draft, people were like, well, why did this guy go first? Doesn't make any sense. But even if you don't watch basketball, you know who Trae Young is right now.
Right. So he would go above Fultz right now, right?
Right. But I'm thinking of just like how they played. Like Fultz just had, he didn't average more assists, but he had like more rebounds and he looked like a better defender and he was just stronger. And I think and he was taller too. So I don't know who would have gone first. I think that's really close.
I feel like before that, what about Simmons? Like Simmons is a point guard.
I think Simmons goes first.
Simmons will go over Young, right?
I think Simmons goes first and like of all the drafts that have ever happened, I think he goes first in like 90% of them.
Fair. Okay, before that, D'Angelo Russell.
He didn't go first. Oh, no, just the first guard taken. First guard taken.
Yeah, first point guard, yeah.
I think they're like the exact same player, so whoever's taller would have went first.
D'Angelo.
Right, so I think they play exactly the same.
Kyrie?
No.
You think Kyrie would have went over?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kyrie played like 3 games, and people were like,
"That's why." That's why I don't know.
Listen, Michael Beasley was a. Oh, that was Derrick Rose. Sorry. Kyrie was the Derrick Williams year.
Yeah.
Look, Kyrie, like I said, barely played, and everyone was like, "Yep, that's." I mean, that's the next guy. Like, that's the yeah, automatic lock. And I was against it, and I'm an idiot for being against it.
True.
So I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying, but I think Kyrie, like, I don't know Trae Young's family. You know what I mean? Like, and I do think a lot of the players in the NBA, even if you don't realize it, they have some other connection to the NBA than playing in it right now. And Kyrie's father played for Patino and played with another pro is named, I think he played with Brett Brown, maybe. So it's like,
probably.
So it's like all these guys in the industry are always going to be like, well, I know this kid, I know his lineage, I know his history. It's like why Wiggins went first. It's like, oh yeah, his father right. played in North
his
Carolina.
Played pro, his pop played in Europe, but he played pro.
Trae Young's did?
Yeah.
See, that I didn't know. That's why that makes a difference for sure. I don't know.
Right, like, again, just going off the freshman years, I think Trae would go over Kyrie. Because again, Kyrie was very slim then too. Like
he was, yeah. About
Trae Young's build, and he's put on – he put on weight fine. I think he's at a fine build now. I think Trae Young will too.
For sure. Yeah,
I think Trae would go above Kyrie.
Listen,
same draft.
People keep talking about not a lot of people, but I've started to see like Trae Young's small. Isaiah just like almost won MVP last year. Like we got to get rid of this small thing. Like shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Nah. I care more so about how you play.
Correct.
Than what you're at. And again, if he was trying to dunk from the 3-point line, yeah, okay, yeah, he's a little tiny for that. But, the whole leading the league in points and assists thing, I think it'll do all right.
Kyrie was just Kyrie had that coming out of high school too. Like I know Trae Young was recruited by Kentucky, but when we talked about the top prospects at the beginning of the year, he wasn't one of them.
Right.
So I do think all of that and the fact that he played, I think it was actually just 6 games. The fact that he played so little and didn't look like the best player of all time in all of those games and still went first, I think that's tough for me to fathom away. Like, he basically played 0 games and he went first. Like, it seemed predetermined.
Kyrie Porter?
So are you just trying to see what, like, Derrick Rose? No.
That's what, like, Wall was in between those. I feel like Wall would go first. I don't know Correct. If it'd be the right choice, but I think Wall would.
I think that would be the right choice. Like, John Wall, I mean, you know as well as anyone. John Wall.
Oh, for sure. Amazing prospect.
Yeah.
That's why I think he would, but I don't. Long term, I don't know. Trae Young's really special.
For sure.
What he's doing is really special.
Listen, we've listed all these drafts. Curry wasn't the first guard taken in his draft.
It's true.
So whether it's right or not isn't always like the conversation.
Well, it's going to be wrong. That's why I'm not asking if it's right. They're going to make the wrong choice. Trae Young's going to go 19th in the draft. He's short, you understand.
He is short, but I think if some team just gets him in a gym, like Jamal Murray just was, what was he, 5th? 6th?
Murray was 7.
7, all right. Well, that's too low for sure. But even he was like too short, like can't play defense. Like, but he was also like, not even seen as a point guard yet. It was like, oh, this right. guy's just a gunner. Now, Malik Monk, he slipped further than I thought he should. Right now, he looks like...
short, man.
Right, he's short and also can't do anything other than just gun. And right now, he doesn't look good either. But I think Young's going to be closer to that top 7. I don't see him sliding out of there.
I don't see him... I don't know how he would slide out of the top 3, honestly. Like, again, if you've got Doncic up there and if you've got... you know, a big, whichever big you like. But I would be honestly surprised unless it just falls like 3 teams. That, like, yeah, all 3 of these guys need centers. Like, all 3 of these guys have point guards or whatever.
No, I mean,
but
I could definitely.
If he goes out of the top 3, I would be surprised.
I would be surprised. Because, like, if, let's say Doncic is a lock for number 1, no matter who has that pick. Mm. All right, fine.
Which he is. Yeah.
Right. Number 2, Celtics. Like, they're not taking Trae Young.
Are you sure?
I'm not, because it's Danny Ainge.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Smart and Rozier's contract coming up soon. He just take 4 point guards and playing with Gordon Hayward.
In my mind, he'll be like, oh, DeAndre Ayton. That's what I want. But you're right. He might take Trae Young. But for this, he takes Ayton or Bamba. Who else is in the mix? I guess Orlando might. But like, if Dallas is that third pick.
Atlanta, Dallas.
If Dallas is that third pick, they're not going to take him.
I don't know. I feel like they just need
talent.
Everything. They also need excitement, right? Like, if Dirk retires, what? Like, Smith has been fine for Ricky, but has he done enough to people like, yeah, I'm going to show up to watch him develop no matter what?
No, definitely not.
So, I don't know. I'd 3-4 at the absolute. I don't know. He'd have to get, like, arrested on the way to the draft.
Like, Chicago? Like, if Chicago... yeah, for some reason has one of these top 5 picks, would they take him?
I think so, because I think Chris Dunn is big enough to – Dunn's what, like 6'4"?
Yeah.
I know he's got like the crazy wingspan. Like, defense was his calling card.
Correct.
So I think he could, you know, defend whoever and let Trae Young play off that.
Right, but where's LaVine?
The three. The NBA is getting smaller, Coley.
It is. I don't think they have a
three, right? Like, who's the three? Who is he taking minutes from where you'd be like, you can't play him and LaVine there? That's my only.
That part's fair. I'm just thinking long term, big picture, which might not be the best way to look at it, but.
This is the Bulls, baby. We're taking 1 foot right in front of us, Jack.
I'd be shocked if he fell out of the top six. I wouldn't be shocked if he fell out of the top three, although I get your point. But I think you're also high. Like, I'm high on him. I think you're higher on him than I am.
I agree. I don't know if it's been done. I was going to say, I haven't seen anybody do this before, and I certainly haven't seen anybody do it the way he's doing it. Like, even Steph wasn't leading the league and leading the nation in assists.
Right.
And he was a junior, so.
It's always someone who plays for, like, a barely D1 team who leads the league, who leads all of college in scoring and also in assists.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and this year it just happens to be both of those are Trae Young.
Right.
Which is, again, he deserves a lot of fucking credit for that. He's really fucking good. You saw the pic of, I think, yeah, it was tweeted at both of us, of Bamba holding the two basketballs and his entire team in between both of his arms.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Like, that shit is outrageous.
Yeah. That picture alone, I was like, yep, I'd take him ahead of Bagley. That alone, what a photograph. Like, if you're the GM, you draft him and he hits, you just put that above your desk.
At what point do we who's the – Matt, I'm blanking on his name. Who's the dude from UConn?
This year?
No. Ashim Thabeet.
Thabeet, yeah.
At what point do we consider these, like, huge human beings to be Thabeet 2.0? Like, is it fair to any of them to do that?
To say he's, like, Thabeet 2.0?
Right, because I remember watching him when I was in college and being like, oh, that should absolutely be the first overall pick. Why is this even a discussion? Because he wasn't just, like Taco Fall. Like, he was good in college.
No, yeah, Taco Fall is good. I'm like, I was the opposite end. I was like, I think he is a guy that is literally just bigger than everybody else, and that's not going to fly at the next level. Like, once DeJuan Blair, like, flipped him over his arm, like, Ric Flair, I was like, oh, no, this is – I was like, that's when you're 7'3 and everybody else is 6'7 in the Big East, that flies. When everybody else is 7 foot, not so much.
He was, like – he was coordinated, though. I don't know. I just didn't think he was going to struggle with other size like he did. Obviously, he did, but, like – Bamba's like all these guys, even Bol Bol was just playing at the Hall of Fame Classic that they have up in Springfield. And like, even he's like coordinated and super athletic. I guess Thabeet didn't have that athleticism, which was probably his biggest downfall. But
right,
like, Bamba's super athletic, coordinated, preposterously large. Bol Bol, same thing. And I still can't figure out a way to like be all in on these guys without looking at them as like either fragile or not going to be able to work, and I don't know what it is.
I think it's a you thing.
It's definitely a me thing.
Yeah, like I somebody's gonna get Bol Bol like the last pick in the draft, and I think he's got a legit 8 foot wingspan.
Yeah,
and
no,
somebody's just gonna use him the right way.
No, I think he's just from how people were talking. I mean, he went like 15 or 17 from the floor in this high school showcase game. I don't think he's going to be one of these sliders. I think he's going to be very much a top 10 pick.
Wait, Bol? You're talking about Bol? I said Fall. I meant
Fall. Oh, Taco Fall?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's just going to be like, yeah, Stan Van Gundy's got him playing some great defense. Got him with the last pick in the second round. Yeah, Bol Bol, I haven't seen much of his game, so I can't call it on him yet.
Yeah, from the words I read and the few videos I saw, looked all right.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely.
Went to Oregon, though. I'm worried. I'm worried about college choices. I get that. They're the only place with the bag? Come on now.
No, but the bag plus the Jordans.
They're the only place with those two?
It's more limited. You remember Dennis Dixon?
I do.
Dennis Dixon's whole house is just filled with Jordans. You open a door, they come piling out on you.
Well, as he should, yeah. You're in college for 4 years. A 1 year, a 6 month bag
true,
at that?
True. Yeah, for somewhere is not great as Oregon. You're right.
I don't. Unless I have like a re, like the being fragile thing. Because again, with Embiid, like he wasn't 7'2" in college, but he was like a large human being, and it wasn't. I didn't hear a thing about durability until he actually started getting hurt. So until I see or hear that with these guys, I don't.
It's not even so much durability as much as it is just like what you were saying to beat, just like being so much bigger than everyone, and then when everyone else catches up.
Right. The only thing is with Bamba, you're not catching up to like a 7'9" wingspan.
No, you're not.
You're not catching up to 7'9". Like, and also he's got a 40-inch vert. Did you see the? I saw it. I retweeted the other day of Ayton doing the vertical.
Yeah.
Good God. Like, his nose is at the rim. Like, it's other people will be 7 foot and 250, whatever he is. They're not all going to be able to do that in the league.
No.
So there's no catching up to that.
No, that's one of the reasons I was in on Thon Maker, who hasn't looked the best recently, but I still believe. Because it's still too young to call it. But, or too old and we should be cut. But, like Ayton, I'm so much more comfortable in just, I don't know, because he's just 7 feet, like, which is already preposterous. Right. But, like, I don't know, like, Porzingis is, like, 7'4". Like, that's probably why he's fucking tired all the time.
That'll do it. That, and another thing, like, with the listen to Towns, like, in that time, he's missed 5 games. Or he's played 5 less games in Towns. Right. I think some of that's scheduled, but I know some of that was injury, which, correct, again, those things count.
Absolutely. Towns is yet to miss a game. Hasn't even thought about it.
But knock on some wood, man. We're too good at speaking.
We've talked about this before, though, so I don't know.
That's fair. Yeah.
We've talked.
Go ahead and get it out in the open.
We've talked about Towns being dominant before. He hasn't been like, oh, well, watch this. Like,
here's 68 points. I just want to say another, like, the most recent case of injury-prone Anthony Davis. Limbs literally flying off his body. And, 48-17 against those Knicks. Go figure.
Wow. Well, Cantor did dunk all over Boogie. That wasn't great.
I missed that, and I'm glad I did.
Ooh, Boogie came down. He was playing point naturally.
Okay. Sure.
And it was like was setting up a half. This was on like fast break Boogie. This was like half court, like setting something up. And it, like, he was trying to get to Anthony Davis. There were two Knicks in the way. So he immediately turned into Avery Bradley, threw the worst bounce pass of all time.
Sure.
And he was just running back, head swaying. He's like, motherfucker. And, yeah, Cantor got it in transition and just fucking brought the house down. It was hard to watch.
My baby boy is fighting. I hate it.
I would love to know what that pass was. I don't understand what was happening there.
I'm at the point, I'm wondering, like, before, like, if the Pelicans know they got a big game in, like, a week, does Alvin Gentry, like, kneecap Davis? Like, go at him like Tonya Harding? Like, they got a big game on Saturday. He takes him out Monday. Davis misses the Wednesday game, but he has 49 and 22 on Saturday. Just thinking ahead.
It's a strategy. Listen, it's a strategy.
I don't hate it. I'm just saying. It never fails.
It really doesn't. Ever since you pointed it out, it really doesn't fail.
It happened at Kentucky. That was it. Like, he would do this at Kentucky. He'd be like, man, oh, man. That was it. There goes our season. Oh, he's back against old – oh, he's got 19 blocks? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, you do whatever works for you. I've been a large proponent of that for a long time.
Agreed.
But we'll be back. More zany hoop and playoff action. Thursday. I don't know. I got nothing else to say. rest in peace, Tom Brody.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Porter.
Yes.
Rest in peace, all the people who think Kristaps is better than Karl Anthony Towns.
Just you wait. Porzingis is going to have 21 tonight on 34 shots and 9 boards, and your mention is going to be 45 hot.
Trust me, I'm very fine with it. car care is fun for Flint.
Yes.
Smash that donation button.
Please and thank you.
And we will see you guys later this week.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
go, 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 go. From the north to the mall, 500K just to host. Go, 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 go. The neighbor too knows. Pack my bags and go, 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 go. Serve me a freak at the stove. Looking like Shaq in the post. Go, 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 go. Drop from the hills to the mall. That window, like, don't go. Yeah, in this world, everything's so mold. Yeah, behind this wall, there's no photos. Jump out this bitch, pogo, yeah. Across my neck, yeah, logo. Watch how you pull a eight, yeah. Ocho, I need some more. It's late, yeah. Pronto, honcho. Jumped out the coupe with the black inside. You would think I'm racist. Smoking cookie in Atlanta everywhere. You would think it's recreation. You already know we made it. We ain't even gotta say shit. Some of the trap with licks. Some of the trap with vacant. Junior say I'll bring the bay. I'll bring the bay out. He won't talk, we bring the K. I'll let the spray now. Jay gon' walk right in that pot, we beat it up, pack y'all. Invade your block, we stay on top, ain't nobody safe now. Go, 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 go. From the north to the mall, 500K just to host. Go, 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 go. The neighbors who knows, pack my bags and go, 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 go. Serve me a freak at the stove, looking like Shaq in the post. Go, go, go.